mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to this October 1st, 2008 worldwide transmission. Former Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura will be joining us coming up in the next hour. And he was going to announce this on my show going back a week ago today. But Time Warner put out a press release before he was able to come on the air here. He thought they were going to be announcing it at the end of this week, so he could announce it here today, but it's really not that big of a deal, but it's interesting that he's doing a TV pilot for a TV pilot that was originally pitched in my name by just a production company, but I'm glad to see it's getting done. He's also involved in some other things, but I don't know if we're going to talk about that today on air with him in 1 hour. We'll see if Jesse Ventura wants to get into that. We also have a huge guest of the same level as Jesse Ventura coming on the radio show for their maiden virgin voyage with us today. And that is coming up in a few hours. So we'll tell you a little bit more about that later. Obviously, in the meantime, I want to cover financial news. And I do want to give the listeners a chance to chime in on all the different flavors of propaganda, the different types of propaganda and brainwashing we're seeing from the controlled corporate media. I, again, watched television for about 45 minutes this morning in the garage while I was working out. Now, I watch television through clips online. And maybe once a week I'll watch a movie on TV, but not even really anymore. I never have time. But I really don't watch news itself from, you know, show to show, program to program. I normally listen to music when I'm working out. But lately, because of the financial crisis that's going on, I want to really watch what the enemy's up to. And let me tell you, it is just unbelievable, off the charts, to watch the lying, the twisting, the spinning, it would the terrorizing of the public, the blaming the public with the $1.2 trillion stock market loss that we witnessed when the, quote, bailout failed on Monday. And then hundreds of points again lost today, erasing gains that were made yesterday. So at this point in time, just look at the track record. The mainstream media lies and spins. They are owned by the very banks that created all of these fraudulent paper instruments that are based on nothing in most cases. Their tenuous connection to substance is to your 401k, to your stocks, to your bank account, and to the fact that they are backed up in many cases by the federal government, which is backed up by our sweat and toil. We, the faith and credit of the United States, means look in the mirror, means us, the people. You got these offshore globalist corporations that have engineered this whole thing. And look, I mean, we're not tooting our horn here. People better pay attention to this radio show and Ron Paul and a few others, who for Ron Paul for 30 years, this radio show for at least a decade, we've been on this financial derivatives bubble. Because as soon as they created these fraudulent instruments and tied them to the economy, to the real economy, anyone who wasn't on the payroll of the New World Order said, my God, this is total servitude. This is indentured servitude they're gearing up. And now we see that process. So I'm going to break it down and take your phone calls in the next segment at 1-800-259-9231.
Big Brother. mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are going to have open phones and financial news, some world news, military news as well in this first hour. Then Governor Ventura joins us for a full hour, maybe even longer. I can twist his arm to take some calls. Governor's going to be coming down to Austin in a few weeks. I'll be picking him up at the airport, showing him around for a few days in Austin. We look forward to hanging out. Hopefully, have some time to spend with the listeners, and we'll be telling you about that event coming up. But unfortunately, as fun as that is, and as interesting as that is, that's weird. Alex Jones, Willie Nelson, and Jesse Ventura. I really can't savor that, and I can't savor the fact that our message is becoming completely mainstream. Truth goes through three phases. First, it's ignored, then it is attacked and ridiculed, then it is universally accepted as fact. But I can't be pleased with that, because at the end of the day, we still have the New World Order, the trillion-pound gorilla, oozing green slime sitting on top of us, beating us in the head with their propaganda 24/7, telling us how much they love us, and foisting hundreds of gorgeous info babes with glistening lipstick, spewing lies. There are so many lies. They are saying that if the bailout package doesn't pass again today, that the market will then again plunge over $1 trillion, which on its face is economic terrorism. They are putting out the monumental lie that this was all caused by subprime mortgages. No, the global controllers of the financial system, 2.5 years ago at Bilderberg meeting, in Canada, that we covered, and we went on air during June, during Bilderberg and after, and I went on Coast to Coast AM, and we wrote news articles stating on the record that the private banks are now going to pop the global derivatives bubble, starting with subprime mortgages to consolidate smaller banks and the financial architecture of the world. They will then offer as a solution after they engineered the crisis. They are the authors of it. That they would then call for a world government run and regulated by a small inside group of banks. That has now been called for in the Financial Times of London. It has been called for in Der Spiegel. It has been called for by Chancellor Merkel. It has been called for by Prime Minister Brown. It has been called for by Bush. It has been called for in the Wall Street Journal. It has been called for hundreds of places. Exactly what we told you. Exactly. Precisely. And we said within 3 years. What I said, what Jim Tucker said. By the way, I just remembered. Let's get Jim Tucker on. And I know that Estelon just had some twins, I believe, and that's why I've been doing interviews. But we need to just make them come on air and take the credit for being just Pulitzer Prize winners. They should be Pulitzer Prize winners. In fact, they really had the sources. They really broke that. We just conduited it here first on air. But what does that say about us being absolutely, completely, totally, 100% right? What does that say? It says that the Bilderberg Group does run the world. That's what it says. Because all we reported to you was what we basically, well, in some cases, stole out of their meeting. I don't want to get into too many details, and I wasn't involved in it, but Jim and others brag about stealing documents and papers and talking to hotel staff before the meetings are held there, and the hotel staff always says no, and then they hear the evil as they serve these people for 3 days. They immediately come and say, here's everything. Oh, my God, these people are pure evil. They're talking about exterminating 80% of us. They're talking about world government. Oh, my God, they are evil, like you said. Let me, you know, I got it all for you. You understand how how big that is, that we have people of courage like Jim Tucker and Daniel Estulin and myself to a lesser degree and many others who go and get arrested, detained, shot at. Jim's been shot at, threatened with prison. I've been threatened with prison that they were going to set me up and put me in prison. I mean, screaming at me for hours after hours after hours, locked up in a little cage in Canada. Remember, it made the newspapers all over the country. It's the only reason they had to release me. Because Jim Tucker, we were able to get a call to him, and he was able to get with the CBC locally and get down there to where we were being held. And they enjoyed having us cornered in there. They enjoyed laughing at us and telling us how they were going to set us up and send us to prison. Imagine those customs police loving to serve a system that is going to destroy their entire future and bring in neo-serfdom and feudalism. You know, we had a guest on yesterday, TV presenter in England, Max Kaiser, and he drew to my attention things that I wasn't even aware of, and then I Googled him, and sure enough, it was true. Did you know that Warren Buffett and a whole bunch of other people have been bragging, saying America is going to be a feudal state, neo-feudalism, neo-serfdom, a term we've used for more than a decade? They're using that term. I don't even know the full magnitude. It's worse than we say. I keep warning listeners. It's worse than we say. Far worse. And we should be talking about what the Depression is going to look like in this country. Now, we're hearing a lot of lies. I also monitored San Antonio Radio News Talk. I monitored Austin News Talk and Dallas News Talk this morning and driving into work. And it was the same thing that I saw on CNBC, MSNBC, Fox, CNN, CNN Headline News. The same fear-mongering I saw when I flipped over to C-SPAN. Just spot-checking it. I'd flip from channel to channel, the same thing. Oh, you know, one presenter was saying on CNBC, one of the info babes, she was saying, oh, I was in an airport and saw people cheering when the bailout failed Monday, but then I was stuck there for an hour and saw them getting upset as they saw the market plunging, and then they were laughing at the viewers, terrorizing them, saying, oh, this is going to pass now because you've learned your lesson. And so they will throw, according to Bloomberg and other financial publications, $5 trillion is what it says. It gets rid of any fractional reserve banking where they can't leverage 10-to-1 fiat derivatives and loans. Now it's unlimited, but only by a select group of private shareholders in global central banks. And so that means they're going to be able to, with completely rigged rules, not even the illusion of the market and the credit system not being rigged, buy up and take over with regulators and the money they're going to have, the fiat currency, what's left of the financial system and insurance companies and other real corporations in the real economy, what they call Main Street. This is military takeover. This is a financial staged terror attack. And we told you this in June of 2006, and it's covered in Endgame. It's covered in the extras from Endgame that's been out for a year and a half. And this whole crisis supposedly started a year and 3 months ago. So even before the subprime thing happened, we told you a year before that and put a film out months before detailing it all. And I have to hear these people that are part of this neocon, New World Order, government-loving, corporate-loving culture on talk radio going, oh, you want to stand up, former conservative talk show host. Oh, you want to stand up and say no to the bailout. Well, you're going to be in a depression then. And now they can say the depression is caused by the American people not bailing things out on Monday. Even if they do the bailout today or tomorrow or next week, it'll always be blamed like smooth hauling, claiming that tariffs that were placed after the Depression started months into the crash, they blamed it on that. And now the very enemy media, owned by the bankers that are doing all this, are going to say it was done by the American people and people that lied on their mortgage applications. That's certainly a very small part of it and showed the systemic culture of corruption from the top down. But that is the tail wagging the gigantic dog. We're going to go live at PrisonPlanet.tv in about 42 minutes when Jesse Ventura joins us. We're going to be live throughout most of the show, and when our special guest joins us at 2, Ventura at noon in the second hour, then an hour of phone calls after that, and then the special guest. I like surprises. I know you like surprises. So that's coming up. But it's bittersweet, the fact that I have major magazine editors calling me up saying, I've been listening to you for years, I can't believe it's all true, you're right. The fact that I have pretty big-time CEOs who are in the real economy calling me saying, you know, by that I don't mean $100 million companies, but billion-dollar companies calling and saying, I didn't believe you, but everything you said's true, you're right. This is on a daily basis now. The fact that so many people are now finally paying attention is a very positive thing. But we're now behind the eight ball. We're now late in the game. It's kind of like the dam broke, and I live 10 miles up, and I got on my radio and radioed down to the town below. I said, the dam just broke, 20 feet of fast-moving water coming. It'll be there in 10 minutes. And now people laughed at me, but now they walked outside finally, and they see the water rushing a quarter mile away. They're going, oh, my God, it's true. The water's coming. But there's still people denying the water's coming, even as it begins to overflow their houses. We're going to come back, take phone calls from a whole bunch of folks that are patiently holding. We'll talk about the economy and what's developing on that front and get your take. The Senate is set to vote at 7 p.m. Eastern tonight. At 6 o'clock Central, 5 Mountain. I guess that'd be 4 Pacific. But the bailout itself is a diversion and a distraction financially. What it gives the Treasury is unlimited fractional reserve banking, no limit on fiat imaginary money they can create, and then tie to your bank account, to the currency. And so this signals an absolute death of the dollar. Now, we're seeing something happen right now. Not only is the dollar plunging, the euro is collapsing. And we've always talked about this, and the economists we've had on. This will be worldwide. Other currencies are going to drop in value. What is a drop in value? It means an inflation of the currency. Because they're involved in the same fractional reserve system. It's simple. A bunch of private bankers came and bought off politicians in 1913 here. They did it in 1815 in England. And even earlier in France and areas of what's Germany and Austria today. And they just created a scam where they can issue basically all the currency they want or all the paper they want. Well, but normally their rule was 10 to 1, 9 to 1. Some countries had higher, some had lower. Some countries 8 to 1, some 10 to 1, some countries 20 to 1. Generally, third world nations do 20 to 1. And of course, those are banana boat republics and well known for their corruption. And then confidence is lost and societies fall into disarray and everything falls apart. Well, that's what the elite have said they want. They want to destroy the middle class. And so this bailout only signals more devaluation regardless. And they plan to take it out of our hides. Let's go to Rourke, Bart, Martin, Josh, Frank, and others. Rourke from Texas, go ahead.
Hi, Alex. I'd like to sort of finish what I was saying yesterday, if I may. I believe that capitalism is time-release fascism because even with constitutional money, the percentage that the wealthy control ever increases, and as that increases, then they choke off the economy. And then when that happens, you have a collapse. And it doesn't even matter if the money's constitutional. Sure, fractional reserve banking just gives them another tool that makes it faster. But I think even if you take that tool away, it's just going to take longer for the collapse to happen.
But sir, this is not capitalism that we're watching. This is a rigged scam by a sequestered upper-level economy controlled by private banking institutions. And so it's a rigged economy designed for fraud. This is not the term they call capitalism or free market.
But a free market, money is a dirty game. And so then if you say that you're going to have no rules on a dirty game, it's just going to get worse.
Well, no one said there shouldn't be, quote, rules, but they actually use the rules to shut down their competition and then secure the central crime syndicate's operation. But you've called over the years repeatedly saying that you have an economic model. So just briefly explain to me, Rourke, your economic model of, quote, free manufacturing.
Well, you know, if there is no money, I think everyone would have to work. Capitalism forces you to work indirectly. And if everyone works and companies just fill demand, if the stores are just stocked and you just go and pick stuff up, I think it's possible to make it work. Yeah, it would be a big stretch for everyone mentally.
What are you talking about? I mean, it's so infantile, Rourke. We take your call. That isn't how that operates. You can have, listen, I appreciate your call. I just can't do it. I'm sorry, okay? You can have, say, the designs for a cotton gin and put that out for free. But somebody's got to pay for the paper and the press to print the designs of the cotton gin on the paper. Okay? So that's about as close to a free system as you can get. But then to build the cotton gin, not just get the free plants. Because yesterday you brought this up and the guy we had on said, oh yeah, like Linux or open source software. But still, you've got to have technicians to run it, to build it, to control it. They've got to get something back to be able to live so they have time to build that and maintain that for you. Okay, so let's say it's 1870 and you live in East Texas, and you want to and you own a piece of property, but under the system, I guess you couldn't. And you want to have a cotton gin. Let's say you have free plans to build a cotton gin. You still got to find a blacksmith to build the parts for you. You've still got to have operators for the cotton gin. You've got to somehow pay them. Everything's just free in the stores. We have to have agreed upon modes of exchange. God help us. We'll be back with more calls.
Strange days.
Well, you just had a caller who just joined us named Rourke in Texas. And this is really an illustration of why the elite can engage in so many flagrant crimes at every level of society and every facet of society. And it's because even people that are trying to be informed, even people that have listened to this show for years, he calls every 6 months or so with the same statement, don't understand. I mean, I can't even sell him on the truth. I can't even explain it to him. And the general public thinks this is capitalism. The general public is now blaming capitalism for what's happening, and that is could not be further from the truth. But it's so hard to explain to people. And then he says, that's what Marx and Lenin said. Engels said the same thing, that, they'll just be everything free at the stores. How do you think you get people to mine the materials out of the ground, to build the factories, to pay the employees, to build the roads to the factories, to power the factories, to then package and promote and advertise the products and then ship them to the stores and put the lights on and build the stores and pay the employees and have the policies? We are a complex society. Have you looked at a city from the air? You ever stood up on top of a mountain and, you know, looked down on a city? How complex it is? Yes, you can have a hunter-gatherer society of bands of 20 to 50 people maximum, but you've still got a tribal chief, normally the person that has the best intuition, the best sixth sense, historically in the very primitive hunter-gatherer societies, not even a lot of times the strongest, but who just knew when to move on, who understood where the game, the animals to be hunted would be, the individuals that just had it. And then they would become leaders of the small band, and they would end up breeding with the majority of the women, and you would have an advancement in the stronger, more intelligent intellect, genetics being passed on. And call it whatever you want, that, you know, that's a fact. That's how that works. It's called breeding. And the New World Order understands that, so they've tried to take control of that, and they call it eugenics. And they have effectively, with chemicals, poisoned the public. This is all stated in the water, in the food. And so, you know, we make fun of the public. We laugh at ourselves, how stupid we are. How, you know, I mean, it's not just ignorant. We're stupid. Because we're brain damaged. And so people who would be incredibly intelligent are just intelligent. People that would just be intelligent are average. People that would be average are stupid, are ignorant. And people that would have just been a low-grade moron are retarded. And it's a fact, ladies and gentlemen. It is an absolute fact. You know, my dad drank well water growing up, and he was the top of his class. Well, that's not true. He was in band and football and did so many extracurricular activities. He was salutatorian. And then he was, you know, judged like the top, you know, in the top six smartest in a big federal government study in Texas and all that kind of stuff. And the other side of my family's all smart. And let me tell you something. Those older people in test scores and everything, not just in how much work they put in, they are innately smarter and have more brain power than I do. And it's because I grew up in Dallas with heavy 2 parts per million sodium fluoridation and the other fluorides they add. You understand that? And by the way, the fluoride and the mercury is altering our DNA. It is damaging it as it's being passed down. So I'm here to tell you, I'm damaged goods. And so are you. And the sooner you stop giving that stuff to your kids, the better. You add a bunch of alcohol on top of it, a bunch of marijuana, a bunch of Prozac. God help your brains. Now, through education, through mental exercises, through study, you can regain much of what you would have been. But you're going to have to work harder. You're going to have to stay focused. Because I chose to study the New World Order, because I chose to study the real political system of the planet, whereas I'm not as good as mathematics or spelling or working on machinery or any of that as some of my family that wasn't brain damaged by the chemical weapons in the water, who grew up on farms, I now have greater knowledge than them, and I have developed systems of thinking which have advanced me past them. But imagine how much further I would be if I hadn't have been chemically damaged. The mind is incredible. And the New World Order knows that, ladies and gentlemen, and they don't want you to be able to grasp what they're doing. Now, I'm going to briefly explain something to you, Rourke. Then I'm going to Bart, Martin, Josh, Frank, and others. We got Jesse Ventura coming up in 22 minutes. All right, a.k.a. James Janos. The elite, I understand, Rourke, you heard about free supply, you heard about mechanized robotic factories so advanced that you will be able to lay around on your hind end all day. And that is actually coming in the manufacturing industrial singularity. There will be many singularities, different steps towards the true singularity, which is a mathematical fact. And you better not want the singularity, because it means the end of this species, and it means not even being able to grasp. You know, there is no one on the earth who can grasp all the computer technological systems and how they interface and how they run. And what's happened is humans and human technicians and computer scientists man and oversee with an organic augmentation the computing systems and the artificial neural networks that have been created, and they oversee their different sciences and then attempt to merge those together and are building computer systems that compute and integrate and design other computers. And it's basically already, with the technology we know about, not just the suppressed technology, but the technology that we know about, basically already out of human hands. We might, if we had a full conscience movement towards full disclosure and investigation and control, be able to slow this down. You know, in the past, it took 100 years for major developments to happen. Now it's happening every 6 months. And so, yes, the elite made the decision, as early as I can tell, about 80 years ago, that manufacturing in the future, and they even successfully predicted when that would be, turn of the new century, that they will be able to build robotic mind systems, robotic delivery systems that will even deliver the components of mines, automatic track laying, for the trains, automatic computerized work gangs that will still have some human technicians and programmed machines, robots that will also service those. But then the elite said, well, why do we need to keep building all this and keep making all of this for the general public? They're a bunch of scum. They're a bunch of trash, in their words. We need to get rid of them. And that's why Bill Joy and others have written articles for Wired Magazine like Why the Future Doesn't Need Us. And Bill Joy is worth billions and billions of dollars. He owns Sun Microsystems. He goes to a big technology meeting with over 200 CEOs of technology companies. And all they talk about is how there's going to be a singularity in the next 15 years. And that was 8 years ago. And how the majority of the elite are leaning towards, this is a public declaration, towards the orderly extermination of the mass. They're not going to just have big robotic factories making brain pods, iPods that plug right into your head, or right through the neural network, right through your eyes. You're not going to have that. You're not going to get that. You're not going to get life extension technologies when there's 6.5 billion, going to be 8 billion by the time they've really got that shirt up to extend life 20, 30 years longer than it is now. And if you can do that, then they know they're going to be able to reach systems that will let them live to 200, not just 130. And then if you can live to 200, well, they know they're going to have systems by then for what you'll call immortality. Now, will that still be a human? Will it still have a soul? No, they say that they're going to merge our data into whoever's allowed to live, into machines, and the elites are going to have duplicates of themselves in fleshly bodies, in computers, in space probes. People make fun of the end of Endgame, where I quote top futurists and Nobel Prize winners saying that most of the elite, when they have these meetings, are going to leave a copy of themselves here, but they want to explore, and that they're going to basically have their consciousness put into hibernation and blast off for Alpha Centauri's. That's a galaxy for those that don't know. They're saying this, and whether that's possible or not, whether they're really going to do that or not, these people build giant computer companies. They're worth hundreds of billions of dollars, trillions total. They design the buildings, the architecture, the roads, how things work. They run things. You understand? They've got their stuff together. They're in power, and they're arrogant, and they see you watching football games, and they see you fighting like white trash in your front yards, and they see you stupidly buying the Prozac ads and all the rest of it, and going along with their scam, and they say, you don't have a right to live because you're so stupid you bought into what we did. They claim that they have rules, and that's why they tell you what they're going to do to you. I've even been told through the grapevine and in person by elitists that, Alex, we're glad you're there. You know, we believe that the slaves need to have a chance to know what we're going to do to them. Our intellects are so much greater than you. You people are so pathetic and slovenly that, we want to give you a little head start. We want to give you a little idea what we're going to do to you. And you've got these self-assured, smiley-faced, fake tough guy men who are so into their false illusion of them being tough that they won't admit they're being enslaved to save themselves and their children and their wives and their futures. And the women are so hogtied and so destroyed psychologically by watching Madison Avenue and the ramp walkers and the heroin chic 18-year-old women that look like they're 9, with skin and bone. The women see that, and they are very social creatures. We all are, but extremely intelligent, but also extremely influenceable. So we're men, but women, it's unbelievable. That gorgeous women all think they're ugly. They don't know why men don't want them. And they don't know why men like some voluptuous woman who's into herself and knows she's got it. You notice in the grassroots, men like the strong, you know, goddess image, large breasts, silky hair, you know, plump faces, strong, vibrant, you know, childbearing. I am woman, hear me roar. And so now, because the alternative media is taking over, that is becoming the proper sex symbol. But still, women can't pull themselves away. They're like, no, I'm ugly. No, I'm not good. TV says so. Meanwhile, there's genetic engineering, toxic waste being dumped everywhere. Your children are being poisoned. The government's gearing up tattletale squads and environmental squads. And they're going to have environmental checkpoints that's being announced. And they're going to control how much food you get and ration cards. Everything I told you years ago because it was in their own plans. Now they're rolling it out. And the men are busy thumping their chest, watching football, and acting tough. I'm not saying watching football is bad, but I'm saying if that's your manliness, you got a problem. If that's all you are, and men are into being stupid and into thinking it's funny, and that's all been done socially and engineered into them. I said I'd take calls. I don't want to just rant here. The point is, folks, that stop being in love with yourselves for 5 minutes, and then you'll actually save yourselves. Stop looking in the mirror for 5 minutes, men and women. Stop trying to act trendy and wear the right clothes or have the right tattoos. I'm not bashing anybody who have tattoos. You know what I'm saying. And actually be something real during the most critical point in human history that we're now entering. The veneer of civilization is going to be burned off very fast. And you're going to see what's under it. And it isn't pretty. Okay? The bad in us is being turned loose. The id. The monsters of the id. That's what the elite global New World Order system is. The technological enslavement grid. That's what it is. It is a charnel house of sex and death and murder and blood and poison and rotten flesh. It is a orgy pit for demons. Now, get your heads screwed on, okay? Get them screwed on straight and start caring about what really matters. And understand the TV is total psychological warfare, the news shows at least. There's some films and shows that come out, you know, because I've seen it behind the scenes where there are good people doing it and it barely slips through, but then it doesn't get picked up or it doesn't get magnified or promoted and kind of falls to the wayside, but the globalists don't have total control. And let me warn everybody who works for this system, you better join humanity against this, and you better stop living in denial about what's happening. Bart in Texas, go ahead. Come ahead, Bart.
All right, well, you know, in the times of greatest darkness, that's when an individual light can really shine. You know, I've always read stories about the little dog in New Zealand that protected the kids, or the Jewish professor at Virginia Tech that held the door while the students couldn't get out, or the Polish nurse, you know, in World War II that saved thousands of children from the Nazi death camps. And the reality is what's coming against us is very dark, and it's very scary, and 70 or 80% of the public's going to probably go along with it. But the reality is every Alex Jones, every Bart, every single truth lover and patriot, and, you know, it doesn't matter what your ideology or what your idea is even about the solutions. What matters is when the door's there and the door's being broken down, are you going to stand up against the door? You're going to throw your weight and your will and your life and the definition of who you are against that darkness. And that's the choice that's coming for each and every one of us, no matter how prepared or unprepared we are for this thing. The reality is we have to do a gut check. We have to get right with God, put our house in order, and be ready to meet this thing and know that it's going to be chaotic and it's going to be frightening, but that this is what we've been called to. And everyone that's listening to this show right now, that's listening to my voice, that's listening to your voice, everyone needs to know that. That if we bow down to it, then we're lost. We have to cut loose when this thing comes, and we have to be ready to meet it with everything that we are.
Well, they need to bring us into a depression so they can bring in the martial law, but sell it as, oh, we're doing this for economic reasons. We're arresting people to keep the order. You know, don't worry, you'll get your pension funds back if you just turn your neighbors in. And we told people this years ago, and it's now happening. And, you know, my parents went to Germany earlier this year, and they brought me back a famous, a big poster of a famous photo of an East German soldier at the barbed wire wall that was first going up. And this little German boy is trying to get through. His parents just got through, but he got hung in the barbed wire. And the German, the East German, picks him up and let him go. And, of course, they grabbed him and killed him. The government did. But the point is, he kept his soul. Remember, we told you with absolute precision exactly what would happen years before, how it would play out. The enemy is public in its operational documents, many of which are not secret. Many people have paid with their lives to bring you this information. Many others are in prison. Many others have been financially ruined. This information did not come free. You would be well advised to listen to everything we talk about here. Your future depends on it. Bart in Texas, finish up.
Well, I just, one other point I wanted to make is, you know, you're dead on, I think, in this propaganda push that's going on. The AP articles keep pumping out saying, why don't the people trust the politicians anymore? Why can't they just see this is what we need to do? And it's because of the Great Awakening. It's because of people like Ron Paul and yourself, Paul Craig Roberts and everyone else that has begun inoculating the public with truth against this massive propaganda that's being spewed on them. And all we're going to see, you know, every time it gets worse, every time there's an escalation, more people will wake up, and that's why we just have to keep doing what we're all doing.
Absolutely, my friend. Anything else?
No, Alex, just keep up the good fight. You know, all those patriots out there, I have nothing but love for you all, and just long live the Republic.
Death to the New World Order. Appreciate the call. Let's go ahead and talk to Martin in Ohio. Martin, you're on the air.
Hey, Alex, I just want to agree with you. You know, we need God's help. This is bigger than all of us. I've been watching all this week this incredible fear-mongering on network and cable TV, and it's amazing. I probably wrote three different letters to my congressman and signed at least four different petitions to stop this stupid bailout. And I thought we had the vampire nailed in its chest on Monday. But the zombies have arisen again, and they're coming back. I'm a gun owner. I can't shoot that vampire. What are we supposed to do?
Well, still the polls are showing right at 90% against the bailout, so they're going to have the Senate, because they couldn't do it in the House, pass it, but then it's still going to go to the House, and then you'll see more economic terrorism by the White House, by the Republican and Democratic Party leadership, saying, okay, if you don't pass this on Thursday, or you don't pass this on Friday, there's going to be a depression, and then the Plunge Protection Team, controlled by the Federal Reserve, will not prop the market up as they've been doing, dumping hundreds of billions in a day, and it will start sliding downward. But remember, they engineered all this, and now they're like a bank robber where the cops have caught him in the bank, and he grabs the attendant, the teller, and puts a gun to her head and says, do what I say or she's going to die. It's completely transparent that they're engaged in financial terrorism, and that by terrorizing the market, they're driving it down, not just by refusing to prop it up. So, again, it isn't even the $700 billion. That's a red herring. It is the immunity. It is the new powers the Treasury gets. That is what they're after.
The problem is we have no cops in this country.
I hear you, and I appreciate your call. Oh, hey, John, I wanted to tell you, before we get Ventura on, go ahead and hook up this second ISDN to just as backup. I want to do that. And are you going to go ahead and call him now? Okay, good. I want to go ahead and get Ventura on now so we have him for the full hour next hour instead of getting him on at the 8 after. And we will be going live at prisonplanet.tv in 1 minute, about 2 minutes technically, when we start the second hour. Then we have a surprise guest coming up in the fourth hour today. I'll just leave it at that for you. Pretty excited about that as well, but I'm really excited about this upcoming interview with Jesse Ventura, Governor Ventura. Talk to him about the economy, 9/11. Talk to him about his new TV show pilot they're doing. And we'll talk about the bailout with him as well. Stay with us.
Live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, I'm really honored to have him with us for the next 60 minutes. He is former Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura, star of Hollywood alongside Arnold Schwarzenegger and many others. Two of my favorite movies, The Predator and, of course, The Running Man. And he is going to be with us again for the next hour. I want to talk about the bailout, the economy, the police state, 9/11 truth, a TV show pilot he's working on. I want to talk about just a whole host of issues with him in the next hour. Governor Ventura, it's great to have you here with us.
Hi, Alex. Great to be here. Looking forward to coming down to Texas at the end of October.
Absolutely. And before this hour ends, I'll tell people specifically about that event. Out of the gates here, I didn't do any pre-interview. What do you think is most important to start off the hour with, sir?
I don't know, really. I guess the economy right now, of which, you know, I'm paying, I think all of us are paying attention to it and trying, I guess, to figure out the dilemma is, does a bailout work or doesn't it work? You know, you hear two sides to the story, and it certainly puts you in a predicament of picking the lesser of two evils, which means you're still picking evil.
Well, let me throw in my two cents. They are terrorizing the public with the president and others saying, do this or there'll be a depression. Stuff like that from a Treasury secretary and a president itself is fire in a theater. And then if you read the bailout plan, it gives them total immunity. It allows them to basically be separate from the government with no oversight. So really, I think the $700 billion itself is a distraction compared to the new powers it gives the Treasury.
Okay, well, I'll trust you on that one. You know, I've been involved in other things the last week or so. If that's the case, then I fully do not support the bailout. Then I think it's ridiculous because this bailout, if it indeed happens, should come with so many rules and regulations that it's as sound as anything you can imagine, because you can't be just taking money and handing people blank checks and telling them to fix it, because that leaves virtually no accountability. It's kind of like how the war was run in Iraq.
We've certainly seen a lot of that. We relied about the war. We relied, too, about so many other issues, and now the same crew. I mean, take the conflict of interest. We have Henry Paulson, who still has a big stake in Goldman Sachs, directing tens of billions of dollars a week into his own company. I mean, how can he be doing that?
Well, you know, I guess the best answer to that, Alex, is that we've forgotten that the Constitution today is a thing of the past. It's a document that doesn't exist anymore, which says there will be a separation of powers into three separate divisions. And as I look at the country today, I see that that isn't happening at all. You know, that we aren't a separation of power anymore. There seems to be no checks and balances whatsoever, which is what the forefathers tried to put in when they created the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, was that making it a system of checks and balances. And the problem is we've allowed people, I mean, I kind of laughed the other day when I heard Ralph Nader refer to George Bush as King George.
And a socialist.
I don't think Ralph is that far off with being able to say King George.
Well, I agree. He's also pointed out that George Bush is more socialist than any president we've ever had. He's just giving it all to the elite.
Right. Oh, yeah, completely. You know, this is a bailout of wealthy, and their argument is that these are the people that provide the jobs, so that it will have a trickle-down effect to all of us, which I have to assume will be some correctness to it. But again, how do you bail out the top and trust what they're going to do? You know, clearly, I find it very interesting that the very people that wanted to deregulate everything are the ones now leading the socialist bailout.
Absolutely. Governor Jesse Ventura will also talk about his book that's been on the New York Times bestseller list, Don't Start the Revolution Without Me. He is our guest for the rest of the hour after this quick break. Stay with us.
A today unlike any
other. Bail out the top and trust what they're going to do. You know, clearly, I find it very interesting that the very people that wanted to deregulate everything are the ones now leading the socialist bailout.
Absolutely. Governor Jesse Ventura will also talk about his book that's been on the New York Times bestseller list, Don't Start the Revolution Without Me. He is our guest for the rest of the hour after this quick break. Stay with us. Governor Jesse Ventura is our guest for the rest of the hour. There's so many issues to be discussed and to talk about. But finishing up with the bailout, you know, the internationalists that run the banking system created these trillions in derivatives. They tied it to our bank accounts, our 401ks. Now they're saying, come in and invest in this, or basically it's all going to implode. These are the same interests that have all been moving offshore. So just in closing, any other thoughts on what's currently happening with the bailout that they are set to vote on in the Senate today, Governor?
Well, you know, again, we have to watch. My thing to tell all the American people is be vigilant, man. If you're not holding people's feet to the fire, you're going to get bad government. And that's the problem in this country as a whole, is that we sit back, we live in our own little worlds, and we don't pay attention to what's going on with the nation. And then by the time it catches us, we're basically caught with our pants down because we haven't paid attention at all. You know, maybe the good thing that will come out of this whole bailout issue is that it will finally get the American people to rise up, take their heads out of the sand, and start paying attention, Alex.
Yeah, I don't want to go back to ancient history, but I sure wish you were running for Senate. I don't blame you for not doing that because you've got some other, you know, ways of getting the word out to the people, staying in the fight. And we appreciate you not going back to back to Mexico to surf. We know that's probably quite beguiling. But let's get into the fact that you are doing a pilot, and I know you're doing some other stuff, but I don't know how far you can go, Governor.
Well, I'm doing actually. I've got possibly 2-3 pilots in the hopper, but I always like to tell people that I don't discuss them in great detail until the first check clears the bank. That's because these are TV shows, you know. I'll be straight out front. I do get paid when I do pilots, like anyone else.
You're not a communist.
And our job, like, and I, you know, you got to earn a living, and so, but. The pilot that we're doing now with the True TV Network, which is the formerly Court TV, is going to deal with conspiracies, because conspiracies have fascinated me for going on 20 to 25 years or better now, you know, starting off with the murder of John F. Kennedy and watching it evolve into everything else and now into the 9/11 conspiracies. And so I think it's very intriguing stuff, and even for people that don't believe or don't want to, or whatever it may be, it's still very compelling and interesting, and to me, it's truly better than anything like Tom Clancy could write or anything like that, because in many ways, real life has more intrigue and mystery than what anyone could make up in their own minds and write it down as a fiction writer. You know, Alex, I have my own imagination, so I don't really need to see somebody else's imagination or read about it. But I do I love history, and it disturbs me greatly when history is not recorded correctly, or if history is misled, because then generations from now, people will never get a clear picture over what went on. And so, you know, delving into conspiracies, I think, is just great intrigue and great dramatic television. And not only will it hopefully inform you, hopefully will entertain you at the same time.
Well, I know that the networks are very interested in this because I've been approached many times with similar ideas by the networks, you know, delving into the secret meetings, infiltrating them, basically exposing what's going on underneath the rocks of government and corporations. And I can't think of a better person than former underwater demolition and Navy SEAL individual and a former governor out there, you know, running around covering all of this. Now,
wait, Alex. Let's not cheat me either. Now that Sarah Palin's out there, I'm also a former mayor.
Absolutely.
and former radio talk show host and movie star and professional wrestler.
Well, you know, that's going to be the intrigue of the show. As I said in the press release, you know, I've been a mayor, I've been a governor, now I'm going to get a chance to be a detective and to be able to go seek out the truth and hopefully go question people and get some answers. I guess, you know, if I could, what's going to happen in the show somewhat, I guess for lack of any other better way to put it, I'm going to become somewhat of a Michael Moore of television, I guess, for this pilot.
But going after, but going after harder issues.
I'm going to go ask questions, people, and I think my credibility precedes me to where they can't take me lightly. And I'm going to go simply ask questions. And Alex, when I was going through underwater demolition training, when we got to second phase, which was land warfare and demolition, when I went through, I had an instructor back then during the demolition phase at San Clemente Island. And this instructor was a chief warrant officer, and he impressed to me very strongly, with no reservations whatsoever, that there is no such thing as a dumb question, especially when you work with demolition. Because not only can you kill yourself, you can kill your teammates along with you. And so I've gone through life with that premise in mind, that there is no dumb question. A question certainly isn't dumb to someone if they don't understand it.
Well, that's
not dumb to them.
Well, that's what I've seen mainstream.
Well, that's the way that I've gone through life. And that's what the essence of this TV show is going to be, simply that there is no dumb question, and every question deserves a honest answer to it. And so I'm going to be out and about asking some, you know, solid questions that I certainly don't consider dumb, and I don't think most people in America would either. And we'll see what kind of answers we can get from people.
Well, that's what I was going to say, is that's what, quote, conspiracy theory is the mainstream media and the dominant corporate culture. Anytime you say, hey, I think this bailout might not be a good idea, they've been calling that a conspiracy theory. Or, you know, I think that we need to question government more or have more checks and balances, or there might be some corruption in government. They call it a conspiracy theory. So basically, anybody questioning the official paradigm is called a conspiracy theorist, and we've seen the same thing, you know, going back to Galileo when he said that the Earth was orbiting the Sun, not the Sun orbiting the Earth. You know, they called him a heretic, and isn't that what's so suspicious about 9/11 is that you just ask questions and they stonewall and act so suspicious, Governor?
Well, and to me, that's the question we're going to try to pursue. Why, if what they've told us is true, then, you know, there's that old quote, the truth will set you free. Well, why would you have any fear of telling the truth? Alex, I love to tell this story, if I may. When I was running for governor, and at the time it was very much in the early part where there were six or seven candidates and they were holding debates throughout the state of Minnesota, we're much different than Texas, where in Texas you get one debate. Up in Minnesota, generally, you might get 12 to 13 of them. And when we were at this one particular debate early on, we were seated alphabetical, so naturally I'm over on the far side. And I'll never forget all the seven or eight other participants in the debate came in with stacks of papers and spin papers and all this stuff. And I sat down with nothing. And I remember there was a black woman, a civilian, sitting to my left, and she quietly handed over to me a legal pad and pen. And I looked at her, and I handed it back, and I said, no thanks. And she said to me, well, don't you think you'll need that? And I whispered back to her, I said, when you tell the truth, you don't have to have a good memory. And she looked at me and smiled and nodded. She fully understood what I just said to her. So in these debates, I didn't need all that stuff, because in essence, every question I was going to be asked, I would simply tell the truth. And if you do that, you don't need a good memory. And so that's what we're taping forward here. And people who will stonewall 9/11, well, why? If what you're saying is true, then simply tell the truth and let the chips fall where they may.
Well, Governor, I mean, take the new NIST report. They have now retracted their previous five reasons Building 7 fell, that 47-story structure, for those that don't know, that was hit by nothing that day. and they've retracted that it was bad building construction. They have retracted that a fuel oil tank blew up and did it. They have retracted that the North Tower fell and gouged out 25% of the south face of Building 7. And now they're seeing a new phenomenon. This is like seeing a leprechaun in your backyard. It's a new phenomenon. Never before seen. Thermal expansion did this with 1,200, 1,500 degrees, cool fires, made it symmetrically fall. So they're just counting on the public, not looking at the evidence. And I'm here to tell everybody, and I want to get your take on this, the new NIST report has completely and totally backfired on them.
Well, the last report I saw, and correct me if I'm wrong, the last report I saw from them on Building 7 stated that they said that the fuel in the building, the diesel, was not responsible. They said the fire that destroyed the building was basically furniture and papers burning.
Yes, and they say it's never happened before.
That was their final line on the report that I saw. And Alex, I looked at it and started laughing. I thought, wait, how can they possibly? They're telling me that papers and furniture could cause a steel-structured, girdered building to uniformly collapse in 7 seconds. Alex, if that's the case, then what is being done? Because clearly, in that era of time, when that building was built, there were probably hundreds of others built throughout our country and the world. Shouldn't there be steps taken to ensure public safety if merely a fire with furnishings and paper can cause the total collapse of a 49-story skyscraper? What is being done about that?
Well, let me tell you, federal agencies then put out new guidelines in the last month telling them to build buildings differently, and major engineering firms and groups are now suing the federal government saying this isn't true, this isn't reality, and they're saying if this is the case, then a Bic lighter would be able to burn down a building, and we don't need controlled demolition companies anymore.
Well, and that's the truth. I said that from day one when I read this. I said, well, the way they can prove this to me is the next time a building has to fall or come down, let's simply go light it on fire. Let's not bother with any demo or any demolition professionals to come in. Let's simply light the building on fire. There's certainly, if furniture and paper can make a building completely collapse in 7 minutes, we don't need any demolition, do we, Alex?
No, we don't. Governor Ventura, I don't want you to go too far on the pilot. You told me some of it behind the scenes, and boy, let me tell you, is it going to be powerful? But the particular angle you're going to be going at, I think, is very effective and hasn't been done yet, even by a lot of alternative media, much less the mainstream.
Well, you know, and that's one of the things we're looking forward to, and I'm not going to spring it right now because, this is the mechanism we're going to go after it as, and I hope that it is, because one thing I've always been accused of, good or bad, is they've always told me when I was a mayor or governor that no matter what issue came up, that I always had a unique perspective on how I view an issue, and so we're going after a little different perspective of 9/11 here. And I think it will be very, very entertaining as well as fact-finding. And I think people are going to find it very, very interesting if we see the light of day. Alex, I've already warned all the people that I'm working with at the True Network. I've warned them that I still give it only a 50-50 chance that this show will see the light of day.
Well, I don't want to insert myself into the mix, but yeah, the exact same TV show was pitched to them right as it was turning into True TV. We even have the intro trailer to the pilot that was made. I never really talked about it on air because I figured it wouldn't see the light of day, but I think in the last year and a half, so much has changed, Mr. Ventura. And frankly, you bring a lot more gravitas than Alex Jones does. You know, movie star, governor, all these other issues. I think, I mean, I had the executives tell me at three different networks, including the one you're working with, and I know you're working with several others, too. It's the same deal. And I had them tell me, they go, look, we know this is what people want. We know this will get ratings. But then from up above, you know, up above programming, even up above, you know, the vice presidents, were the big money people saying, we're not going to have that anti-New World Order stuff on here. We're not going to legitimize it. And that's why the mainstream media is being delegitimized.
Well, all I can say is my show coming up has nothing to do with the New World Order.
No, I understand. It's with unsolved things that have happened. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, this is just a case of, you know, there's a lot of questions that still loom out there. And we're going to give both sides of the issue. I want people to understand that, too. We're not just coming at this show with a perspective in mind that, okay, this is what we're going to promote. This is the way we're going.
Sure.
We are going to, the people that, like at NIST, that do these reports, they will have the opportunity to defend what they say. And ultimately,
wow,
it will end up the viewer.
Well,
the viewer will see all things, and ultimately the viewer will have to make up their own mind as to what they do or do not want to believe.
Well, Governor Ventura, my whole point is this, to make it clear. I think this is an idea whose time has come, and I frankly can't think of a more perfect person than yourself, very imposing and intelligent, basically stomping around, going after bad guys and investigating things.
Well, let me add this, Alex, here, so everyone, all your listeners, will be clear. Do you remember the great film Philadelphia with Denzel Washington and Tom Hanks?
Yes, the film
where Tom Hanks is the lawyer who contracts AIDS.
Yes,
and then goes to Denzel, who's kind of this slipshod lawyer who advertises on TV that we always see, and seeks him out to defend him in this major, major
uh-huh.
case. Well, the part I took home from that more than anything is also the attitude I'm going to bring to this show, so that all your listeners will be clear on this. There's a scene in there where Denzel Washington turns and says this words. He says, explain it to me like I'm a six-year-old. Do you remember that from the film?
Yes.
He makes that statement, explain this to me like I'm a six-year-old. Well, that's the aspect I'm taking forward on this. Explain it to me like I'm a six-year-old, so that we will all be able to hopefully clearly understand what these people are talking about. Because I think for the most part, most of us feel that if it were explained to a six-year-old, we would be able to grasp it.
Well, I want to get more into 9/11. Let's talk about, you told me that it was great meeting Karen Johnson out in Phoenix when you were there visiting, when you went to the 9/11 Truth event and spoke there. And then I love the video of the media trying to attack you, and you throw it right back at them and say, you explain it to me, because the official story doesn't answer any of the real questions. And even the 9/11 Commission says they weren't allowed to even do their job. So recap what your experience was like really getting in with both feet into 9/11 Truth out in Arizona.
Well, I'll tell you, there's some dedicated people is the first thing I want to say. You know, Senator Karen Johnson, to me, shows tremendous courage because she's a current elected official who is making no bones about the fact that she feels that the 9/11 investigation was completely botched and that there certainly should be a second investigation done, even though at this point in time it would be exceptionally difficult because, there, as I stated earlier, there's no evidence. It's all been destroyed. So nobody can go there and get anything scientific, you know, it isn't made available to anybody. But the people out there are super dedicated people, and they're coming from all walks of life, which is the thing that I'm really noticing and that really makes me feel good. Not only do you have a strong group of young people, whom you would expect. You know, I grew up in the 60s, so, you know, I know what it's like for young people to bolt from the status quo. I grew up in the generation that we used to say, don't trust anyone over 30. You know, I remember that famous quote. And, you know, so you've naturally got young people that are heavily involved. But then there were also professional people out there who are involved, people who you wouldn't expect to be involved, who have taken time and studied it a little bit. And I think that's really the thing that needs to happen in this country. We've got to break away. I had a guy the other day just look at me and smile, and he's at the golf club, and he said, I don't believe any of that conspiracy stuff. And I looked at him and I said, well, What knowledge do you actually have? What have you done to study it at all? Are you simply going on what the television has told you and what the government has told you, and you just blindly accept that today? And this guy was a Vietnam veteran, Alex. I would expect him to be a little bit more cynical, you know, in light of the fact they now revealed the Gulf of Tonkin incident never happened. And, you know, in the fraudulent whole Vietnam War.
Well, the NSA...
How we wouldn't allow elections in Vietnam because they knew Ho Chi Minh would win them, you know, and things of that nature. And so, you know, and it irks me that the public is so... they don't want to... Maybe it's because they don't want to believe anything else, but that isn't the attitude to have, and that's not going to do us any good because... You know, you can stick your hole in the head, but it doesn't mean things are going to go away and they're going to be right. The only way that happens is by people being involved, paying attention, and doing a little detective work on their own and understanding that you cannot trust the mainstream media today and you cannot trust our government today.
Absolutely, and it's the denial that there could be corruption or there could be a problem that has allowed the corruption to take over. History shows you're always going to have corrupt groups and criminal organizations and elites trying to take over and set up empires and abuse the average person's rights and liberty and property. And so to deny that any of that exists in history or in this country is the greatest folly, and we're about to reap the whirlwind on that front. Governor, we're going to break in a moment. When we get back,
okay,
I want to...
Alex, let me throw this out for a minute. The other thing I find so mind-boggling in this whole affair of 9/11 is the fact that we will so quickly believe that 19 Islamic radicals with box cutters could do what happened that day, but we totally throw out that us on the Christian side could never do something like that.
Oh, that's a great point. In fact, let's keep talking about 9/11. Then I want to get into your book, and I want to talk about what's coming up in Austin with yourself and Willie Nelson and I, and a lot more, and maybe take a few calls at 1-800-259-9231. We'll be right back in 3 minutes.
We're on the march. The empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN.
All right, let me talk to Ventura.
Us on the Christian side could never do something like that.
Oh, that's a great point. In fact, let's keep talking about 9/11. Then I want to get into your book, and I want to talk about what's coming up in Austin with yourself and Willie Nelson and I, and a lot more, and maybe take a few calls at 1-800-259-9231. We'll be right back in 3 minutes.
Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, down.
We're going to get back into 9/11 in just a moment with Jesse Ventura. And yes, I'm going to take a few calls for the governor coming up in about 15 minutes. 1-800-259-9231. Kind of a grab bag. See what type of questions you have for the good governor. We'll talk about his book, too, before he leaves us, and he is coming to Austin. I really look forward to that. It doesn't get any cooler than getting to hang out with Jesse Ventura. I'm really excited about it. And Willie Nelson at the same time, and a bunch of others that I'm not at liberty to talk about that are going to be at this event. It just blows me away that this is actually happening. But so Jesse doesn't think I'm kidding him. I've got his email. I guess I could send it to him. Here is the trailer from the TV show they worked on similarly, but I think his is going to make it through. I hope it does. It's about a minute and a half long, called American Conspiracy. Here it is.
You're either evil or you're good.
These are the stories you hear in whispered conversations.
We're both in skull and bone at the secret society. It's so secret we can't talk about it.
One would think it wouldn't take very long for that to happen, dealing with people like this.
These are the stories that offer different explanations.
These mothers have planned every monster you can imagine, and I do this because I believe in this country.
They are the stories that must be told. Suspicion of our politicians is not new. But the number of citizens who distrust the government today has reached an alarming new height. In New York City, nearly two-thirds of the population believes there is more to 9/11 than has been told.
I believe the title was Bin Laden determined to attack inside the United States.
But where can viewers turn? American Conspiracy. Our nation's preeminent conspiracy expert, radio host Alex Jones, takes us beyond the stock stories of the mainstream media. He asks the questions others won't consider.
Have you been there for the ceremony with the cremation of Kerry?
Frankly, I don't think that's something I need to talk to you about.
He explores the places others only talk about.
You're beginning to sink deeper into the rabbit hole now.
He takes us through the doors others won't enter.
I can't begin to imagine what we're going to discover.
In this first ever adrenaline-fueled docudrama, Alex Jones uncovers America's darkest secrets.
You need to answer real questions instead of lying.
It is the X-Files, unscripted, all the more frightening because it is real.
All right. It goes on from there, but Governor Ventura, what do you think of that?
You got me hooked. I'm ready to watch.
You know, my wife last night, I was telling her about this, and she just got so excited because I think you're going to do 20 times better because you're going to be the producer. And I know you don't want to give us, too many hints, but if it gets picked up, what are some of the areas you're going to get into? Obviously, JFK, because isn't that what originally woke you up more than 30 years ago?
Yeah, there's certain aspects to the JFK murder that can still be looked at even today. There's certain things that could be done which could shed a great deal of light as to what went on, 40 some odd years ago.
You know, I have the tape of E. Howard Hunt saying he ran the operation. I have the video.
There's things of that nature, and then there's other stuff too out there that I will get into. But JFK, it could lead us to many, many different things that people have questions about, and that there are conspiracies of. There's a lot of interesting things that deal around Scientology and that religion.
Hey, how about you crash the Scientology church or crash Skull and Bones? Oh my God!
Well, in order to crash Skull and Bones, I might need a whole SEAL platoon.
Hey, Jesse, I on air, I'm going to say it. And if it gets off the ground,
Alex,
I want to be a sidekick.
Alex, what? wait a minute. I want to ask you something. Skull and Bones, now that's like the secret society at Yale University?
Yeah, it's a homoerotic Germanic death cult where Robert De Niro got it right in his big film, The Good Shepherd, and they do satanic rituals. I've actually snuck into one of their meetings that they had separately in California.
The Skull and Bones, that's what they do?
Absolutely.
Well, isn't George Bush part of that?
Yes, it's very Christian.
That's what I'm trying to figure out. How can that be Christian?
Well, let me tell you, Bohemian Grove that I snuck into, I'm sure you've heard of that, Northern California, the mainly right-wing Christian leaders go there and they bus in male prostitutes. I mean, I know you're not attacking them either for their sexual preference, but why are they so hypocritical, Governor?
Well, I don't know nothing about that, but it's certainly hypocritical if it's true. I mean, Alex, sometimes you go to places that even I don't know exist.
Governor, do you have a computer in front of you? I love doing the Google game. Google male porn star services moguls, and you'll be looking at mainstream newspapers. Remember,
really? Remember
Jeff Gannon, the bald-headed gay madam who was in the White House press conferences and who was signed in over 100 times past midnight at the White House? You remember that big...
I don't know a thing about any of that.
Oh, listen. Oh, my God.
Alex, you got to say, you know what? You better let me just stick to what I know about and focus on that. If you get me off track with all this other stuff, I won't know whether I'm coming or going.
I know. Well, listen, you know a lot about stuff I don't know about, and you're in a very powerful position. And kind of like 2 years ago when I gave you Terror Storm, I would love to just be an unofficial advisor I could send you so much stuff that's admitted, sir.
Well, like I said, we're going to do this first pilot, and then we go, let's get this one on the air. And once this one's on the air, hopefully we will be bought into series, and at that point we'll be looking for a lot more stuff to educate and entertain the people on.
Well, I've publicly groveled to Lord Ventura. Lord Ventura.
As I said, Alex, we got to do it one step at a time.
No, I know.
Right now, my focus is to do this pilot and make it as good, entertaining, give people knowledge and to make people question some things and give them enough facts to the ability to raise some questions and ask them and not be afraid to do it.
Well,
we're supposed to be in a free country. Let's always remember that. We're supposed to have the First Amendment here where we can talk, and again, and I know this has been said many times, but people need to always remember the First Amendment is to protect unpopular speech, not popular, because popular speech doesn't need protection.
Well,
unpopular does.
You know what Mark Twain said? Mark Twain said in the beginning, a patriot is a scarce man, hated and feared, but in time when his cause succeeds, the timid join him, because then it costs nothing to be a patriot. And you really are a great patriot, one of the biggest names to go public for 9/11, and it is becoming more and more mainstream thanks to you and so many others. What is it like to see the phenomenon of government-sponsored terror becoming more and more accepted, sir?
Well, you know, we got to wait and see. You know, let's see the chips fall and let's see the education take place. But that's hopefully that's what this show will help to do. And as I said, I'm got my fingers crossed that the courage will be there and that it'll get on the air. And the True Network, I think, has seen, somebody told me, in 90 million homes today or 100 million homes.
It's 91 million, yeah.
You know, that starts the ball rolling.
And it's one of the biggest cable system shows networks out there. And I tell you, they're lucky to have you. I'm just so excited about it. I mean, Jesse Ventura, Conspiracy Investigations, it doesn't get any better than that. Getting back into 9/11, there are so many facets to it. But some of the areas that they can't ignore is the White House lying and saying we never heard of plans to fly planes into buildings, when there'd been hundreds of government drills and plans, and they'd even, you know, had Operation Bojinka and other cases where things like this had developed. We also have the war games that morning, just like on 7.
What gets me the most, Alex, is when I watch Condoleezza Rice testify in state, we had no idea they would take planes and use them as missiles into buildings. And then you find out that, yes, they did. They even had, as you said, practice things that had happened within the government. And what would they do? How can they sit back and look at us and say they were so naive that they didn't have any idea that this type of situation could happen?
It
insults my intelligence, Alex.
I tell you what insults my intelligence. I'm in Austin, Texas. The main network's in Burnsville, Minnesota, and we have problems about 3 times a year, and it's when we have somebody big like Jesse Ventura. In fact, the last time it happened was when he was on, and you probably can't hear it, Governor, but somebody's cutting into the line. John, I want to switch to the other ISDN right now. Okay? I don't know if you're hearing that crackling.
It's switched.
Okay, it's switched. Yeah, Governor, a lot of weird stuff going on here on our end, but I'm sure it's just a coincidence that somebody cuts our digital lines only when you're on the show.
Well, maybe it's coming from my end, too, because, you know, I wrote about that in my book. You know, the house that I lived in at the time I was governor, it turned out that there's pretty big, strong evidence that my lines were tapped there.
Now, Governor...
And after all, Alex, let's remember, our Democrats gave the president the ability to do that again.
Well, did you hear, when I was in, you probably didn't, but it was in the Denver Post, when I was in Denver for the DNC, I was going to meet with Cindy Sheehan, and she was doing a big event with Ralph Nader, and I was invited to that, and I'm going to meet her, and when I meet with her, she goes, guess what I just caught? She goes in her room, she's already been checked in, she goes down and eats, she goes in, the door's cracked, there's a guy in a suit over her phone putting a device in it, he screws the top on and runs out of the room past her. And then, of course, you talked about what happened at your house. Tell folks about that again.
Well, you know, we had a system set up where, as the governor in your private home, they give you this red phone that even if it's knocked off the hook, it will ring automatically the local police, you know, who will come running, which is a good idea. You know, you don't even have to speak into it. If the phone is knocked off the hook, that sends a message right to the local police, and they're coming. But when they installed that, we always had weird clicking on my regular phones, and it was so bad it became laughable, where my in-laws would automatically state, well, I guess if you're out there, we're talking again, you know, and that type of thing. And then when I ended being governor, we found a little transformer type thing out on my deck one day that a friend of mine said, who used to do that for the phone company when ordered to, said that that had something to do with, you know, a listening type device. And then the guys who came out to then rewire my phones back up after the red phone was taken out and all this other stuff, they came up just baffled. They said, we've never seen phone wiring like this in all the years we've worked on them. So that's all I can go on, Alex, is that it was a very strange situation, to say the least, my 4 years in office.
Well, you know, you've told this story, but you never got into much detail here. Can you briefly get back into one of your first days at work? You go to the Capitol, and there's 23 CIA people in your office, but they won't tell you who they are. They won't tell...
No, they weren't in my office.
They were in the Capitol basement.
And let's put it in the right thing. They requested, quote, requested that I come down and interview with them. You know, I don't want to say they ordered me to, because there was no one that said I had to. But I, being former military and, you know, new to the job, I felt that I guess this is my obligation. If the CIA wants to talk to me and I'm the governor of the state of Minnesota, I certainly should talk to them. So I went down, then that when it arrived, I went down into the bowels of the Capitol, into this closed room, and I sat in a chair, and they were in a big half-moon circle around me. And let me also say, they were very professional. They were very courteous. They always addressed me as my title, governor. You know, all the formalities were there. I guess the scariest thing about it, Alex, was this. As I looked around the room at these 23 people, I saw my neighbors. And what I mean by that is, you would never guess in your wildest dreams that these were CIA operatives, which is their job. So obviously they recruit and they do it very well, because some of the people I looked at would look like the old retired guy down the street that would sweep his step. Others were younger people, others were professionals, others were blue collar. They came from with an entire cross section of what you'd call America.
Amazing.
And then of course I was a little belligerent, being who I am, and I said, before I answer any of your questions, I have a few for you. And I one of them was, I asked them why they were operational within the United States when their orders are that they're not to be operational.
There's a federal law. It's a felony.
Right. And, well, clearly that law isn't enforced, because they're entrenched in Minnesota government, as I talk about in my book.
And what did they say to you?
Well, they wouldn't, really. They avoided the question pretty much. And you know, I said, your mission statement says you're not to be operational in the U.S. What are you doing here? You know? And then I said, I want to go around the room, and I'd like for you to tell me your name and what you do. Well, I got about half and half on both. Half would tell me their names. I don't know if they were their real names or not. No way of verifying that. And half would say at all what they did. If they did tell me what they did, how would you know that was the truth?
How did it end?
It was much like when I went through SEER school, Survival, Escape, Resistance, and Evasion, when I was a frogman. Well, when they interrogate you there, my actual rate was storekeeper, which is supply. So I would tell them, I'm a storekeeper, I work in supply, I hand out blankets and requisition parts. Although I was actually a Navy SEAL, never worked in supply at all. But in those days, you had to go up in rank with a regular Navy rate. And so I was a storekeeper. And maybe that's the way it is for these people, too. That they don't, you know, they can make up and not actually do what they tell
you. But didn't you say the meeting basically ended there because they wouldn't answer the questions?
Oh, no, not at all. It didn't end there.
Okay.
I took their questions, and amazingly, all their questions dealt around how I got elected.
They wanted to understand how you came out of left field.
Yep. And that's their job. And it's like when I went home that day and I called my friend Dick Marcinko, you know, the creator of SEAL Team 6 and a 30-year Navy SEAL, and Dick dealt with the CIA a whole lot more than I ever did. And I was only in the active duty 4 years. Dick was in there 30-something. So I called Dick to ask him about it, and he started laughing. And he said, well, I don't know exactly, but I can throw a guess out. And I said, well, your guess is going to be better than mine. Fire it. He said, they didn't see you coming. And he said, their job is to report trends. They want to find out, are there going to be six more of these independent governors that might win? What's going on in the country? Because that's what their job is to do. Gather intelligence, present it to the government so that the government can then make a determination and an educated movement on how they want to react to it.
Well, it's hard to believe. Yeah, Governor, it's hard to believe that we are already right up to the final segment, and I know you've got to go. Maybe I can twist your arm for five more minutes in the next hour so we have time to take four or five calls on the other side. Plus, I want to get into the Austin events coming up and plug the book. We'll be back in 3 minutes with Governor Jesse Ventura. I'm Alex Jones, Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com are our news website. Stay with us.
As a parent, your biggest
gated movement on how they want to react to it.
Well, it's hard to believe. Yeah, Governor, it's hard to believe that we are already right up to the final segment, and I know you've got to go. Maybe I can twist your arm for five more minutes in the next hour so we have time to take four or five calls on the other side. Plus, I want to get into the Austin events coming up and plug the book. We'll be back in 3 minutes with Governor Jesse Ventura. I'm Alex Jones. Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com are our news websites. Stay with us. Declaring independence. They've laid their bodies down in a bloody war. For liberty for their descendants. Let me tell you, the best part about my job is that I get to see people really wake up to government-sponsored terror, to corruption, to so much, and to see people all over the planet waking up and to know that we are on the real cutting edge. And then I get to associate with people like Willie Nelson and Jesse Ventura and the former German defense minister, Andres von Bülow, and the Italian president. Former Italian president's gone public saying it's an inside job. People like Bill Christensen, CIA section chief in Berlin, who says it's an inside job. Bob Baer, who says it's an inside job on this show. The guy that made Siriano about CIA black op commander. You know, we are going against the flow, but we're starting to turn people around and wake them up. Governor Ventura, your book has been on and off the New York Times bestseller list. If anybody hasn't gotten it, they need to get it in bookstores everywhere. Don't Start the Revolution Without Me. That said, I am looking forward to hanging out with you for a day and a half here in Austin. For those that don't know, I'll go ahead and announce the details. The 26th of October, the backyard, the last time, because they're moving to an even bigger facility. This one holds 18. It's outdoors. This one holds 8,000, and we're going to be having it streaming live for free on the internet at Infowars.com, which Willie Nelson's idea. The thing is so popular that even when Willie said come to the event, it was almost sold out then. So it's sold out. You might go to scalpers to get in, but regardless, it'll be free on the web. Austin City Limits is going to be there putting it out all over the country. They're going to be taping it for that. And a bunch of other media is going to be there. And so you'll definitely want to watch that for some surprises. Governor Ventura, do you like Austin, Texas? You've been down here quite a few times, I think.
I enjoy Austin, Texas very much. In fact, I would tell you this, and I hope I don't offend the rest of the Texans, but if I were to ever move to Texas, Austin would probably be the prime place where I would look, because I love the blues and I love Stevie Ray Vaughan, and the whole Austin area down there is a magnificent area. It's fun to come and visit, and I'm looking forward to coming the 26th.
Well, if you like Double Trouble and the Fabulous Thunderbirds, Jimmy Vaughn is going to be playing at the event, and he is a listener of the show. He's been a guest here. He lives in Austin. So have you ever met Jimmy Vaughn? He's a fabulous guy.
Oh, yeah. Jimmy was up at the Ron Paul thing here.
That's right. He told me about that. Absolutely. He was
Jim, Jimmy and I talked at the Ron Paul convention, the counter convention up here in the Twin Cities at the Target Center.
Well, it's a small world, and I'm just honored to be associated with people like you and Mr. Vaughn and others. God, it's exciting to be on the side of good. I feel sorry for those that are involved in corruption and bad, because I guess they don't have a conscience or they just don't care, because I love being part of the good guys. What about you, Governor?
Well, I don't know necessarily. You got to remember something. I was a villain for all those years in wrestling, so I like to cause trouble, too.
You're not a villain.
Well, I played a villain. Everyone hated me, Alex. They paid their hard-earned dollars.
Let me tell you,
to get my butt kicked.
Growing up in Dallas, watching you on TV, we liked you, and we were rooting for you to kick Hulk Hogan's butt.
Well, you know, when you put it that way, Alex, then you're not always on the side of right and justice, because I was a villain. Hogan was supposed to be the All-American boy, not me.
I know, but it was. I know, but everybody liked. I mean, they're saying you're probably the best villain ever, Jesse. But you know, you're not really a villain, so we know that was just having some fun.
You know, people understand that's, you know, in the world of pro wrestling, and much like politics, I think they parallel. I talked about this at Harvard. The fact that what you play in the wrestling ring may be nothing like what you're like in real life. And I think many of the politicians are that way. What they portray to you in public is nothing like they really are behind the scenes.
It's like WWF. Okay, we'll be back in 1 minute with the final segment. We'll take 3 of your calls.
Thank you for listening to GCN.
That's, you know, in the world of pro wrestling, and much like politics, I think they parallel. I talked about this at Harvard. The fact that what you play in the wrestling ring may be nothing like what you're like in real life. And I think many of the politicians are that way. What they portray to you in public is nothing like they really are behind the scenes.
It's like WWF. Okay, we'll be back in 1 minute with the final segment. We'll take 3 of your calls.
Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, final segment with Jesse Ventura. Let's go ahead and go to Bruce in Connecticut. Bruce, go ahead. You're on the air with the governor.
Hi, I got a story about Building 7, why it collapsed. After Towers 1 and 2 collapsed, it felt so depressed it just gave up.
Well, that's as good a conspiracy theory as the government story, Governor.
Yeah.
I agree. You know, I don't know. I haven't looked at that yet, but if there's any witnesses that heard that being said from the building, I'd sure like to hear about it.
Oh, man. Anything else there, Bruce, from Connecticut?
Yeah. Another thing, JFK assassination. It's very telling that they lock up evidence for 75 years. After the event.
Absolutely.
Even better than that, let me throw this one at you. Do you know that today, cannot get Lee Harvey Oswald's tax return?
Hey, listen, I went to the embalmer's office. He lives here in town. He's still alive. And he talked about the FBI guys came in, put his fingerprints on the gun, walked off, and then said on the news his fingerprints were on the gun. And then I was going to go back and interview him again, and he got ran off the road that day and almost killed at 90-something years old, so now he can't do the interview. So this is not a joke, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Bruce. Robert in California, you're on the air. Go ahead, Robert.
Good day, gentlemen.
Welcome.
Hi, Robert.
Okay, as an old Navy person like Jesse, you know, my father served in the Navy, my brother served in the Navy, I served in the Navy. My uncle served in the Navy. My other uncle served in the Marines.
And his brother's Jackrabbit served in it. What's your point?
Yeah. My point is that, for one thing, I'm glad that Jesse's getting new projects started off with a more broader view of just our conspiracy theory, so we can actually go through these things one by one, and I hope it does take off on the ground. The other thing is that I'm glad other people are waking up, but, you know, I've been doing this since 1979, just telling people, you know, getting the looks, getting the stares, you know, I was in the Navy. So it's a hard road battle that we have to keep going, you know, and just not give up.
It is, Robert. I hear you. Yeah, what about going the distance, Governor? I mean, you know, the truth will out if the good men stand up, won't it?
Well, you'd like to believe that, Alex. You know, we live our lives believing those things, but I guess... I'm a realist, too. I've already come to the realization that in my lifetime, the Minnesota Vikings will never win the Super Bowl.
Hey, are you going to... go ahead.
No, and I say that in the fact that you're fighting a very, very difficult battle here when you're fighting people that want to censor things and won't allow the truth to come out. And when they have the power to where they can take things, put them away for long periods of time. Like the latest thing I heard is that all of Rudy Giuliani's papers now are locked
yes.
up for 25 years.
Yes.
What is the story with that?
They're hiding everything. I mean, it's just incredible.
Well, the point is, he was in public service. Everything he did as a mayor should be public knowledge. I released every document of my 4 years in government are now in the Minnesota State Archives. Anyone can go over there and read anything they want. They said Governor Ventura's administration was so forthcoming, even the bad stuff is in there.
Well, that's the sign of a good guy. That's my final question. Are you thinking about running for president in 2012?
Not at this time. I got other things. I got other fish to fry. I got a pilot to get off the ground and possibly two more. And there's a whole lot of other stuff I got to do in the next year or two before I would even entertain anything in 2012.
And so next you're just going to be working on the pilot, coming to Austin the 26th at the backyard with Willie Nelson, myself, Jimmy Vaughn, and
yep,
others.
And then hopefully I'll be doing two more pilots, and then at some point I will go to Mexico, Alex.
Listen, I dream every day of going to some deserted island and doing that. But you
I don't dream it. I do it. That's my break. See, I'm like a good Navy SEAL. I attack, I hit my target, and then I go drink beer and relax for a while.
You don't drink beer. I've been around you. You don't drink.
Well, I used to. In the days when I was in the Navy, I did.
Hey, Governor, you're the best. Let me say bye to you off air, and if everybody else, will be right back. Thank you, Governor, for spending time with us.
Lead from solder
Keep it
and
going.
Copper pipes.
Listen, I dream every day of going to some deserted island and doing that.
I don't dream it. I do it. That's my break. See, I'm like a good Navy SEAL. I attack, I hit my target, and then I go drink beer and relax for a while.
You don't drink beer. I've been around you. You don't drink.
Well, I used to. In the days when I was in the Navy, I did.
Hey, Governor, you're the best. Let me say bye to you off air, and if everybody else, will be right back. Thank you, Governor, for spending time with us.
We are in process of developing a whole series of techniques which will enable the controlling oligarchy to get people actually to love their servitude. People can be made to enjoy a state of affairs which, by any decent standard, they ought not to enjoy.
Perhaps you had better start from the beginning. Perhaps you had better start from the beginning. Perhaps you had better start from the beginning.
Too many kids are what's making the planet worse.
A lot of these kids come from bad gene pools. They don't have stable parents making good decisions.
Mercury-containing vaccines may help, not harm, kids, according to two new studies in the journal Pediatrics. These new studies suggest that the opposite, that the preservatives may actually be associated with improved behavior and mental performance.
Fluoride in water is supposed to fight tooth decay, but could it also cause cancer?
Turns out the government had the right under U.S. law to conduct secret testing on the American public under specific conditions.
We have to work the dark side, but we're going to spend time in the shadows.
Any attempt to achieve world order must be the work of the devil. Well, join me. I'm glad to sit here at the right hand of Satan.
It's a need for a new world order. Someday, in the next few years, a solution will emerge.
Take your calls in this hour, cover the latest financial developments, and then got a big guest coming up in T-minus 50 minutes. T-minus 50. We got some other huge guests in the fight against the New World Order next week. I got to dig around here in my stack. I had all this stuff printed up on my next guest last night, and so much is piled up here. And I was digging around during the first of the Ventura interview looking for it, and now I can't find it. I just can't do it all. I'm trying to do stuff during the breaks, and it's just turned into a total insane asylum here at the office. But I'm exhausted after that interview. I've got another one coming up. But a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff that I know that I can't tell anybody about. You got the depression coming on and all these neat things happening. For those of us in the fight against the New World Order, we're gaining so much ground right now. But also the enemy is just expanding, and that's why we're gaining ground, because people are finally figuring out the reality of what we've been talking about for so long. Yeah, I haven't been bugging Ventura with a lot of my videos and materials and stuff. He's already got a lot of them, but I need to give him a crash course in all this stuff, because he's a great guy, but like with the bailout and a few things, he didn't trust him, he wasn't for it, but he wasn't up to speed on a lot of it. And, but what do you expect? He's a busy guy. What do you expect for the general public? Let's take some phone calls, then I'm going to regroup here and get into some of the other news that I have here in front of me. Omar in Canada, sorry you didn't get on with Ventura. Go ahead.
Yeah, how you doing, Alex? Yes, you've been talking about neo-feudalism, and I'm really starting to see the parallels now with what you're saying. You had a guest on there before talking about how these government agencies basically have put a letter of mark on us, you know, and think about like a cop or the Ministry of Transport. Every time you go down the road, they're standing at the side looking for a handout, and I don't see any difference, you know. It really does look like we're going back into, you know, imperial British rule to me. You know, things like these marine recruiting centers, they're nothing more than press gangs.
Oh, I meant to ask Ventura about the Army announcing they're going to use NORTHCOM in regular operations against the American people. There were so many questions that I had mentally thought about, but forgotten to get to with Ventura on air. Drat, drat, double drat. But I can have him in studio the Sunday he's here, because the Willie Nelson doesn't go on stage till like 10:30 at night. We're giving our speeches at like between 9 and 10 and at the event, and he's here all day. He comes in the day before that, and I'm going to be taking him around town, and he's staying basically with us. But I need to get him on air and ask him questions like that, because you know, he's got a military background. A lot of people listen to Ventura that won't listen to me just because they know Ventura and don't know myself. But, no, I'm glad you bring that point up.
Well, someone had asked him at one of his book signings when he was kicking around the idea of running for office, would he abolish the Federal Reserve? And he said, that'll get you a bullet in the head. And I understand, because I'm not the one with the CIA target on my forehead. But
yeah, Ventura it knows a lot more than he lets on.
Yeah, well, that's pretty disturbing. Like, they just surround him at his office, and I mean, they're just secret police. That's all they are. I mean, people try to idolize it. And
well, what they do is they wouldn't do it with Ventura, but with others, with other governors and mayors, they bring them satchels full of $100 bills. And I've interviewed the San Antonio police chief they tried to buy off, other officials they tried to buy off. There's a huge covert black op government all around us, and that's evidenced by the former mayor of Minnesota, who kept quiet about it for many years and just now wrote about it.
Alex, I wanted to ask you, do you have any information on the history of the symbol of the dollar?
What, the all-seeing eye?
No, the dollar bill.
Well, I mean, it has an all-seeing eye on it, the pyramid.
Well, it's an S with the bars. Someone had told me years ago this was his take on it, and I thought it really hit the mark. The S stands for slavery or serfdom, and the two bars are the single bars, the bars of imprisonment. Because if you do a Google search, you'll find that there's no, it's the history of it's quite mysterious. They know where the hello?
Yes, you're on air.
Oh, they know where the history of the pound and the lira, but the dollar bill symbol just suddenly appeared at the beginning of your republic, and nobody really knows what the origins of it are, although they make some assertions it's associated with the Spanish, gold bullion or something like that, which really doesn't make sense, but I just thought what you wonder...
Maybe some monetary historian can call in and let us know. Thanks for the call, Omar. Yes, very interesting. Christian in California, you're on the air. Go ahead.
If you hear me, I got a Bluetooth in.
Loud and clear.
All right, great. Since you're good on history, I just want to know, what role did, ancient Egypt have to do with, all the...
Well, I shouldn't have said it loud and clear, because it's kind of hard to understand you now. Christian,
okay.
Are you on a speakerphone, Christian?
No, I got Bluetooth in my ear. Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Go ahead and make your point, sir.
I just wanted to ask you a quick question on history. What kind of role African societies had on the Freemasons and stuff?
What societies?
Ancient Egypt.
Yes, ancient Egypt. I'm going to let you go because that Bluetooth isn't working too well. It's very hard to understand you. I can get pieces of it. Yes, there are several branches of history. But you had esoteric, ancient mystery religions based in the Tigris, Euphrates, in Babylon, based in the Nile Delta, in Egypt, and based in Greece. And they basically all worshiped the planets, and they had similar names for the planets, and they had a god of the harvest and a god of the sun and a god of the winter and a god of the crocodile and a god of this and god of that, and they worshipped the reproductive cycle and the male and female reproductive organs. A dome or capital is worshipping a heaping stomach of a woman with a gestating baby. The obelisk or towers are the male phallus, or the male sexual organ member, and then that got passed on, and then you had the Dark Ages that came after the fall of Rome in 410, and before that, the sacking and burning of Alexandria and the library there. And so one of the only groups that actually kept all of that written down and documented and had private libraries kept by the Levitical guild, or the Levitical priest of the family of the tribe of Levi, a subgroup of the Hebrews, or what is known as the Jews today, they kept all those ideas. And the Torah is the Old Testament, but then you have the Talmud and several other books that came after that that are kind of like the Orthodox Jews' New Testaments, separate from the Gentile New Testament. And in those, you just see codified the history of Babylon, Greece, Egypt, and those ideas, systems of governing, systems of mathematics, things that were very, very valuable, propaganda tricks that had been learned. And so that's why our entire culture is, I'd say more than 80% of it, orbits around Judaism. I mean, that's where Christianity comes from. That's where the Masonic halls come from. That's where all of these basic systems come from, because only the Jews had the most complete records of governing systems and systems of control than all the other esoteric religious stuff that before they had their own monotheistic system, but then later in their history they adopted, at least into their oral traditions and written traditions, the entirety of pre-Christian history. And so that's why the Masons' biggest secrets, are the what happened in Solomon's temple and the mathematic equations and all those secrets, was because all of that was carried through. And so people wrongly say that all of your Masonic systems are Jewish mysticism. Well, no, they're not. If you want to talk about where it came from Egypt, Babylon, Tyre, and Greece. We'll be right back.
Riders on the storm. Riders on the storm. Into
at T-minus 35 minutes. You only live once. Make it count. You'll be known for what you stood for, what you built, the wrongs and the rights you did. Your gut knows you're only here once. So, girl, you gotta love your man.
Girl, you gotta love your man.
Gotta take him by the hand, make him understand.
Girl, you gotta love your man.
Stop fighting with each other.
Take him by the hand. Make him understand.
Ah.
The world on you depends. Our life will never end.
You know, I'm entertaining Paul, who just got back from vacation.
Yeah.
You deserved it, man. Working at KLBJ and KIN here. How long have it been, Paul, since you had a vacation? A whole year. What'd you get, a week off? Lavish week? You know, people say Americans are lazy. Some of us are, but most of us aren't. In fact, statistically, we're one of the hardest working people. In fact, the most hours anybody in the world. You know that? We got to get a microphone rigged out there for you guys, because the other studio, we got three studios now. We got the KLBJ studio, this studio, and the new one we're building. I can do the show anywhere, I guess, just kind of wander around in circles. Folks, I'm shot. I was up here working late last night, and then for some reason I couldn't sleep last night. God, I hope I never get insomnia like some people have. I mean, I woke up like every 20 minutes, and so I'm kind of... Hey, you're not tuning in for that, are you? You're not tuning in to hear me whine. You know why I'm tired? It's so warm in here with the theater lights on for the live video stream. We're not doing right now. We had it on for the hour. Ventura was on with us, the hour plus. He'll be back on soon. He's not running off to Mexico for half a year like he normally does. Again, we can have him in studio coming up the Sunday, the 26th, but I think that's a little too much for us to go to the show and then drag him over to do the speech. What do you think, Paul? Have him down there to those studios? Somebody's on the message board on Prison Planet saying, does Jesse Ventura know that he looks like Frankenstein with that haircut? He's funny. He, of course he knows it. You know, the Bride of Frankenstein comedy? And the guy that has, like, long hair on the back, but, I mean, he looks like Frankenstein in person. I was talking to Jimmy Vaughn a week or so ago. We were hanging out, family, and I said, oh, did you get a chance to meet Ventura? I'd forgotten when I asked him if he knew Jimmy. That wasn't a trick question. He said, oh, yeah, we hung out at the Ron Paul deal, and I said, what'd you think of? And he goes, Frankenstein. Can you imagine? He's, like, 6'7". Stomping around with that Frankenstein haircut going after the New World Order on this new TV show. It's going to be awesome. I'm probably, if the show goes, I was kind of begging the question on air. We've already talked. I might end up being the Igor sidekick. Hey, I'd be happy, you know? Like the Tasmanian devil they release on people, having me in a cage. Ah, ah, you know, like helicopter lands to go after the New World Order and... Because that was the plan. Yeah, what happened is, really nice guy who runs a pretty good-sized production company. He even does production for BBC, but in New York. He lives in Knoxville now. I didn't know that. He told me he listens to me on WBCR now. He moved out there. I called him up yesterday about this Ventura thing, and he said, yeah. And they pitched it to True TV when it was in an embryonic phase about a year and a half ago, from Court TV was about to switch. And they pitched, because I didn't come up with this. I don't have time to run around trying to get a TV show. This has happened several times, by the way. And they went and they pitched it, and the ones that almost bit, but then up higher it got nixed, was True TV. And then you read the press release from Ventura's people, it's the same show. But people are asking me, am I bitter? Absolutely not. I want this to happen. That's the secret. I don't care if the Easter Bunny gets the show. I mean, that's how we, you know, get it done. But I know a lot of other behind-the-scenes stuff. It's just hilarious. It just all these people, Ron Paul, Jimmy Vaughn, Jesse Ventura, TV shows.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.
What's that? What'd you say?
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.
Hold on, I'm listening.
We're the renegades, and it's atomic.
Now, you guys let the landlord in? He's showing this place, so we have people walking through here. They'll try to open the door to the studio. I can invite them on in here. Since the prehistoric ages and the days of ancient Greece. And the earth kept going through changes. Hey, come on in. Let them see the studio. It's like a complete pig pen in this office. There's like 90% of the equipment's out of it. We're not even here most of the time. I better not let folks know my location. A certain talk show host local will have his wife come over and go after the vehicles again. It doesn't matter. I got so much surveillance over here, it'll make your head spin. All right, I'm in too good a mood right now. Oh, yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I said I'd take your calls, and I want to hear from you. I want to hear from you, and I want to talk to you. So let's talk to Stan in Missouri. You're on the air, Stan. Good to hear from you.
Hello, Alex.
Hi. Hey, is this Farmer Stan? I haven't heard from you in about a year.
I know, my friend. I know.
My little sweetie pie.
Monday night, and I listened to you talking about Obama and what they want to do here in Missouri, being as I am from Missouri. I tried to tell my sister-in-law about that last night, how they want to stifle freedom here in Missouri, and anybody makes any kind of derogatory comments in writing or on the news media about Obama. She absolutely went completely ballistic, Alex. She said, "Now, where did you get that from?" And I said, "Well, I heard it on the radio, and this Alex Jones even had comments from the Kansas City News." And she just completely, absolutely ballistic on me and said, "All that is nothing but barroom talk."
Well, it was on a bunch of TV stations there. They had the sheriffs and prosecutors on there saying that if you talk bad about Obama and they decide that it's a lie, they're going to come arrest you. And now they backed off and apologized in the newspapers yesterday, so I didn't even cover it.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I guess she thinks that the bankers aren't trying to cheat us either. I mean, I guess Obama's...
Well, Alex, let me tell you something, my friend. These people are... Like you're always saying, they're living in complete denial. They are dumbed down from years of watching the news media, and all they think about watching on TV is Comedy Central or Jimmy Kimmel poking fun of all this. As far as I'm concerned, these comedians, they're no better than our federal government or Wall Street.
Well, that's what I was about to say. I've been watching more TV lately, more news, and they have the men and the women just smiling with these fake smiles and just fluffing everything, and then the comedians you think are actually criticizing the politicians, but they're making it a joke, and it's not a joke. I mean, that's why I could have played the clips of Sarah Palin.
No, sir, it is not
sounding
a joke.
10 times stupider than Miss South Carolina, but we never did it because it makes for good radio, but it's not a laughing matter.
Joke, Alex, and you were talking to one of your callers there Monday night. I can't pick you up very good during the daytime anymore. But one of your callers was advocating cutting the TV cables, and my friend, you done wise by telling people not to get involved with violence. The time of violence, Alex, as far as I'm concerned, is already here. The people in Columbia, Missouri, crime is just completely skyrocketing out of control, Albert, Alex. And the
you
people,
call me
American
Albert. I've always liked that name.
They don't
Albert Jones and the GCN Radio Network. I'm sorry, go ahead.
The people don't realize what's going on, Alex. The crime is absolutely spiraling out of control in Columbia, Missouri.
And people haven't seen anything yet. When we go into a depression, look, we had a well-behaved, orderly Christian nation on average back in the 1920s and in the 30s. Today, if we have a real depression, which it looks like is a foregone conclusion, you're not going to worry about the New World Order and the police. The demonic public... The yuppies particularly are going to be just, look out, Katie, bar the door.
Well, they have these churches completely dumbed down too, Alex. They've turned these churches into nothing but country clubs, sir. They've absolutely.
Well, it's on record that the feds secretly pay 26,000 preachers to give anti-American speeches and tell people to turn their guns in.
Yes. We all know all about that, Alex.
It's all part of the freedom.
Yes, it is, sir.
Well,
they're just absolutely, the American people are just absolutely been dumbed down by all this, Alex.
Well, Farmer Stan, a lot of people are waking up, though. We got to have to say there's something, you know, there's a...
There's several out there.
There's a rainbow. There's a silver lining to the nerve gas cloud.
Yes. Well, you know, the sad thing about it, you were talking to one of your guests on there, the guy that was talking, Chapman, is that his name?
Bob Chapman. Albert Chapman.
He is a very smart individual, but I'll tell you what now, if it ever comes down to what he's at, you know, was talking about guerrilla warfare and all this, I live right down, not too far from Whiteman Air Force Base. Whiteman has a stealth bomber. They have a B-52s. They can absolutely wipe out these cities in a heartbeat, Alex. I've talked to people in Special Forces that were in Panama that told me what went on when they went in to get Noriega.
Puff the Magic Dragon.
Yes.
Live by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist.
Yes.
With a huge Vulcan Gatling gun in the land called Hollaly.
Yes.
Good to hear from you, Stan. I appreciate it. The truth is, the New World Order is very easy to militarily push over. That's only one part of the equation. The troops, mainly, though they're hiring illegal aliens and felons, are on our side. A lot of the police in major polls, and we've covered those yesterday with Colonel Roberts on air, are actually on our side. They had a poll like a year ago, major national one, where 99% of police said they were pro-Second Amendment and wouldn't confiscate guns. So, by and large, the more as I get a little bit more wise, it's the corrupt system. By and large, the police aren't even the big problem, though they're where the rubber meets the road. And they do a lot of really bad things under orders, and some of them are a bunch of roid-head nuts. They're not. A lot of them aren't stupid. Or if they were stupid, they get street smart working on the streets, and they know a scam when they see one. The problem is the military predominantly will not fight back against the American people if things break down. You know, they may try to maintain order, but if things turn into a shooting war or arrest people, put them in FEMA camps, that's going to break down pretty fast. They tried to use New Orleans for a few years as a laboratory of that. The problem is things will break down and people will be starving to death and they will beg to turn their guns in for food. Speaking of that, I've got a few sponsors. I didn't even plug my sponsors yesterday, and I should have because I'm so busy covering news. But let me cover this now, and then we'll go to some more of your calls. And then we do have, in 20 minutes, a big guest coming up. I am quite excited. We'll see how it goes. Should be memorable. We're talking about the bailout with our guest and some other issues. I want to tell you about eFoods Direct. eFoods Direct is the best storable food, freeze-dried, and dehydrated food company I found out there. I've gotten food from them many times, then given it to family and others. I keep some for myself and my family. Very affordable compared to the grocery store. Last a long time, more than 10 years in climate-controlled, non-climate-controlled 10 years in your barn or in your attic, garage, whatever the case may be. 1-800-409-5633. Give them a call. Get a free brochure or a free audio CD about their fine line of products. 1-800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com. Big banner up at the top of Infowars.com. And you will never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. And with all the uncertainty going on, all the craziness intensifying, the inflation, all of it, if you don't have storable foods, firearms, and water filters, you're out of your mind. And if you have the economic means, you should have 20, 30 acres, at least 50 miles outside a major population center, to where if things completely break down, you can get out there with a year's supply of food and take care of your family. And folks, 7 million people starved to death during the Great Depression. 1-800-409-5633, 1-800-409-5633. Let's say everything turns out fine, the bankers love us, and everything's wonderful, which we all know isn't the case. Still, it's good to have this insurance. And then another fine sponsor is Ecolo Blue. They are just a fabulous atmospheric water generator. Grabs water right out of the air, that humidity. In the desert, it gets about 3 gallons, 3.5 gallons. That's about the least amount it'll get. In a regular humidity area, 7.5 gallons. Atmospheric water generator for the home pays for itself in 1 year if you buy your water from the store. Pure clean water without the fluoride, unlimited water from the humidity in the air. Machine produces, again, 28 liters in 24 hours. Great tasting, pure H2O, exactly the way nature makes it. No chemicals, pollutants, or toxins. Neutral pH, which is very important. And the water passes through an activated carbon filter, then a silver impregnated carbon filter, then a reverse osmosis system, then one for taste and odor removal filter, and is stored in a tank illuminated by an antibacterial, antifungal UV light. The machines come in red, black, white, green, silver, and blue. We have a green one and a black one. We just unplugged them because we're about to take it over to the new office. 866-585-4044, 866-585-4044. Bob Dacey's something else, man. He was in here the other day doing the show, and he goes, those aren't plugged in. Are those good? Why aren't you using them? I said, because we're moving, man. But yeah, they're great. Bob's so funny. 866-585-4044, ecoloblue.com, a banner up on infowars.com if you forget the site. ecoloblue.com or 866-585-4044. And another fabulous sponsor that we really don't talk enough about is New Vitality. NewVitality.com, link through at InfoWars.com to the banner there. They have hundreds of products, and they don't sell magical, miracle, you know, stuff. What they have is well-known herbs and vitamins and minerals that for hundreds, in some cases thousands of years, have been well-known to have certain nutritive and health effects. Like the Aloe's Colon and Body Cleanse. And it just flushes out your guts, an incredible detoxifier, just amazing antioxidants, mainly concentrated aloe vera, but it's got 29 other balanced natural herbs and enzymes that work together to improve overall health. Give them a call for Aloe's Colon and Body Cleanse, 800-569-4056, 1-800-569-4056. Just great stuff, 800-569-4056. They also have another one of their fine products, Super Beta Prostate, that has a whole bunch of the herbs that are known to shrink the prostate and give good health there. A lot of evidence to that. Check it out. 800-569-4056 or link through at InfoWars.com to NewVitality.com. Let's go back to your calls. Oh, I got mixed up here. Scott in Arizona, you are next, my friend.
Can I call you Albert?
Actually, that's my real name. I don't know how Stan knows it. My real name is Albert Louise Possum. Anyways, go ahead. You're talking to Albert Jones.
I think that's TMI. I hope I have time for 2 points. If you could hold me over the break and we hit a commercial, I'd appreciate it. But the first one I want to talk about is Hegelian dialectic. I think that's the operative term with respect to this bailout. And for folks that I've heard that term, I've heard you talk about it before, Alex. I was trying to get a good definition. And basically what
Alex, my name is Albert.
Okay, Albert.
I'm going to stop screwing around. Go ahead.
All right. So Hegelian dialectic, basically what it is they guide us into a crisis or conflict that lead us to some sort of predetermined solution. So what I'm seeing with respect to this bailout is I'm listening to media, and I'm talking about alternative media, patriotic media, mainstream media. I'm starting to hear noise about replacing the system. The system is dead. We got to replace it.
And their answer is a global government run by the bankers, the very people that engineered it.
Well, I'm not hearing I always listen to media carefully, and I'm not hearing.
You mean the mainstream TV or the financial publications?
Across the board. I'm just starting to hear.
You haven't heard them call for a global government run by the bankers?
Oh, I'm sorry. I did see some stuff in one of the British papers a couple days ago.
Wall Street Journal, you name it. Kissinger's pushing it.
Well, yeah, I mean, these guys have been pushing it forever. That's nothing new. But what's new is this pushing us into the system's dead. We got to replace it. And
they want to bring in a new monetized Amero with the regional currencies, and you'll have to have a national ID card to track your carbon credits, which they're now announcing.
So if I could read, I just cut a little quote out of a book I've also heard you mention many times by the Club of Rome called The First Global Revolution.
Ah.
If people haven't read Chapter 5, I think Chapter 5 is only about 12 pages. That's all you got to read. I mean, it really tells you everything there. You might have to read it 20 times, but that tells you everything you need to know. Here's a very short quote, if I can read it. Sacrilegious though this may sound, democracy is no longer well-suited for the tasks ahead. Democracy is no longer well-suited for the tasks ahead. The complexity and the technical nature of many of today's problems do not always allow elected representatives to make competent decisions at the right time. What are we seeing right now? They're telling us our Congress and the people are too stupid to make decisions about their financial future.
And they know the public thinks in 24-hour news cycles. And so the public, some of them, I'm glad to say the majority aren't being fooled, now think that Congress caused the stock market to plunge 700 points and now believe this is all a new problem. And then they have the other lie that it was all caused by subprime mortgages, which then again blames the public.
So if democracy is inefficient and is no longer
Sir, Richard N. Haas in the same Club of Rome documents says we'll use fake environmentalism to take their rights and stage terror. I mean, these guys are, you could take the quote from David Rockefeller about how we, you know, don't want people running their own countries. We want bankers running it.
Yep. They tell you right there in that book that they're going to engineer food shortages, water shortages, and global warming. I mean, they talk about it. And who set up the meeting in 1989 in Washington, D.C.? Al Gore.
The PR population thinks that the big Texas oilman, Boone Pickens, is putting up air-powered deals in the panhandle of Texas and into other states. But really, it's all about grabbing the water supply. And that's all admitted.
I didn't know that. Oh, yeah.
That's a stealth deal to grab the biggest aquifer in the U.S. But it's for the Earth, so it's good.
Do I have another minute to quote something from another book?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so for those people out there, and I know a lot of people, you mentioned, I try and get through this material that everybody brings up, at least try and scan it, and we got Carol Quigley's Tragedy and Hope, the big 1,000-page-plus monster that I can't get through it.
Well,
but what I found was Cleon Skousen wrote a nice little 150-page summary of that book called The Naked Capitalist, which really summarizes what Quigley was saying in his book.
That the bankers created communism and fascism as consolidation combines.
It really goes through all the main points that Quigley was trying to make. So for people, if you can find it, it took me quite a while to find The Naked Capitalist.
We have his nephew on sometime.
Right, I think his nephew Joel actually helped out the Paul campaign.
Mm-hmm.
But this quote's a little bit longer.
Go ahead and read it.
Okay. Everything the super rich collectivists do must be accomplished in an atmosphere of propaganda and deception. Boy, do we know that.
Stay there. On the other side, you can read it, then we're going to move on to other calls. And our illustrious guest is only 10 minutes away. I get nervous. I hope he calls in. And funny, Paul. Albert Jones has got a powerful radio show. Man, everybody's talking about that Albert Jones. Folks, I'm under so much stress, that's why I've been screwing around more, because I got to laugh or I'd cry. All right, stay there, Scott. Okay, Scott, go ahead and read your quote, your Carol Quigley quote.
Okay, this is from Cleon Skousen's book called The Naked Capitalist, for those people that want to go search for it and find it on the web. But let me just start again. I read the first sentence previously. Everything the super rich collectivists do must be accomplished in an atmosphere of propaganda and deception. Otherwise, they keep running into a groundswell of resentment and resistance as they try to compel middle-class Americans to give up their independence, their property, and their constitutional prerogatives. Let me repeat that. Give up their independence, their property, and their constitutional prerogatives. Then what is the current strategy of the establishment? It is two-pronged. First, pressure from the top. Second, pressure from the bottom. The current tactic is to create revolution, violence, and extremely serious dislocation at the bottom. Let me just read that. They want to create revolution, violence, and extremely serious social dislocation at the bottom while simultaneously creating an ever-increasing pressure at the top for monolithic powers by demanding that the executive branch of the federal government be given massive power to, quote-unquote, solve all these problems. I mean, we're watching this happen as we speak. I mean, we're watching it right now with this bailout. The executive branch is trying to, this is about a power grab more than it is about money, because they're already spending the money. So what we're seeing here, you read these quotes, we're seeing this being acted as we go through this.
No, I hear you, and you're absolutely right, and that's the historical fact, and that's what we try to get people to think about here, and I appreciate your call, Scott.
Bernard, Steve, Mark, Mike, Kevin, and others, our next guest is only going to be with us for 20 minutes. That's why on Infowars.com, on the audio streams, and for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers, we're going to go back live like we did with Jesse Ventura earlier. We are going to skip the 5 after break. For everybody else, we'll be back after that. So we'll have a 5-minute segment when our guest is scheduled to be calling in the next 5-6 minutes. And then we'll come in with them and skip that segment, that break. And so we have a full 20-something minutes with our guest today. So I'm excited about that because more and more we see people really breaking the left-right paradigm and getting the big picture about what's happened in our society. We're also going to continue with phone calls the last 40 minutes of the show and get into the latest economic developments, what's happening with the stock market, what's happening with commodities, oil, gold, silver today as well. And the Senate is set at 7 o'clock Eastern tonight to vote on the, quote, bailout package. Now, again, as the caller said, the money isn't even the big issue. That's $700 billion alone. Bloomberg and others report it's more like $5 trillion. That is a big issue. It's all very important. But compared to the fact that they want to get immunity, and compared to the fact that they want to give even more power to the Treasury, and the fact that they have the mainstream media trying to bully the American people into going along with this, this is not going to save the economic system. And so we do live in very, very, very interesting times right now. And we've, you know, people that understand that this is not, quote, capitalism. This is crony capitalism. This is corruption. And the media now, Vladimir Putin came out bad-mouthing the U.S. today. And a lot of people are saying capitalism has caused all this. This is not capitalism when you have corruption and you have people in derivatives running all sorts of economic scams. This is corruption. And we're talking about over $1,000 trillion in derivatives. And that certainly is not the fault of people with subprime mortgages. They certainly are guilty of lying on the applications, but this is a system-wide problem. Ladies and gentlemen, we do have our huge guest, and we'll be back to start the fourth hour in 1 minute. And our guest, ladies and gentlemen, is Chuck Norris. Stay with us. Well, we really do have a icon, not just a cult icon of martial arts and Hollywood films or top-rated TV shows, also an author, political activist, a real conservative. And I tell you, he's been getting even more hardcore against the things that threaten the constitutional republic. He's with us for only 20 minutes. First time I ever talked to him was just during the break. I was flattered to hear that he's heard the radio show and tuned in. And we have Chuck Norris with us for 20 minutes. The new book is out, and I have read much of it. I just got it a few days ago. Black Belt Patriotism, How to Reawaken America, martial arts master, actor, and political activist. We're also live at PrisonPlanet.tv, streaming from the studio. There is the book for folks watching. I don't want to waste any time with any more introduction. He is one of the few people that doesn't need one, kind of like Jesse Ventura, the governor, on with us last hour, coming down to an event I'm putting on with Willie Nelson coming up later this month on the 26th. Chuck Norris, it is great to have you, sir.
Thanks, Alex. It's a pleasure to be on your show.
You know, so much has happened. So much has been unfolding lately. I wanted to get your take first on the bailout that's going on right now.
You know, I don't know if it's going to relieve the pressure on our citizens and our Americans. I'm all for it. You know, it's so complicated, Alex, you know, and unless you really delve into that to find out exactly what it's going to do, it's a very difficult situation to determine. And I just hope if they do pass that bill that it's not in vain. You know, that we're just not going to waste another $1 trillion for unnecessarily. It's just a, so, you know, it's, I tell you, that's why I wrote this book. I really did a lot of research because I am so worried, like so many people in America are, about the future, about the direction our country's heading economically and our national debt and illegal immigration and all these issues we're facing. And, you know, and research and doing all the research on this book here, you know, and finding out that the founding fathers had a vision for America, and it was not corrupted by greed and power. And and the politicians are so disconnected from the will of the people, you know. And we've got to do something about it, Alex. That's why in this book here, I just give 8 major problems America's facing, and I give my own common sense solutions to solving these problems. You know, the first chapter deals with the, I believe we've forgotten our roots and have drifted from the principles and belief that our country is founded upon. You know, and then the second chapter is about our national debt, you know, and then the third one is about our nation's borders and the illegal immigration and going all the way down to them. I think we lost our moral compass in America, the devaluation of human life, failing of our children. And I talk about our health problems also. You know, I think we have a huge, serious health problem here in America. And
now you talk about the trans fats and other chemicals in the food. I mean, even if you try to be healthy and eat that stuff, you're going to get sick because it's deadly.
Yeah, it is. It is. But the thing is, you just got to be more cautious of what it is and knowing the right times to eat and the amounts that you eat. You know, we're the most over-eaten country in the world, you know, because I've been over to Europe, you know, and people are very cautious about how they do eat.
Yeah, giant portions. I mean, they have big gulp drinks at 7-Eleven the size of small trash cans now.
Yeah, I know. You know, and this thing, we need to put the pressure on our fast food chains to, you know, start improving on the quality of the foods, you know, don't make them so fat-related, you know. But
did you like the film Fast Food Nation? I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, it was. But, you know, the thing is, Alex, we have such a bloated federal bureaucracy, you know, and government, you know. I'll give you an example. How many pages do you think there are in the IRS tax code?
I know it's in the tens of thousands, and then they have all these.
Exactly 66,498 pages, Alex. You know, and the thing is, who in the world knows what's in those 66,000 pages? Charlie, you know, Rangel, he doesn't know, and he writes the tax code.
Well, that's what George Orwell said, that in a tyranny, the government writes laws that makes everybody criminal.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and a good example of that is in 2005, when researching this book, I found out in 2005, over 6,000 taxpayers making over $250,000 a year paid absolutely no taxes. You know, so we have a broken system here in the country. In fact, it was unconstitutional until 1913 to even tax our people. And then we had in 1913, we had the 16th Amendment that made IRS legal.
Well, Chuck, I know you're very well educated, because I know a lot of Dallas police and state police and folks that know you, who years ago, before I'd ever actually confirmed it, you know, said that you were aware of some of the work that I do and Ron Paul and others. And I mean, that's it. We have private bankers, the New World Order, that control both parties. What's your take on all this globalization and the North American Union and the Trans-Texas Corridor?
Well, you know, going on, you know, I campaigned for Mike Huckabee, you know, and I met thousands of millennials. You know, and it's interesting to see how their take on our country and our world. I put them in my book, some of the statements they made, and they said, you know, they think that America has stretched her boundaries too far into other countries' business. And they say, we believe that America overplays the role of world peace officer. They believe America sends too much money abroad. They think we dole out too much money for foreign aid.
It's become an empire.
It has become an empire. You know, and I listen to this. Barack Obama wants to send $50 billion to the United Nations as soon as he gets into office. Now, for the poor, which sounds fine, but the thing is, when I was in Korea, Alex, you know, we have hundreds of orphanages over there in Korea, and America was sending over thousands of dollars in food, aid, medical, and money, and only 10% of what was sent over there reached the orphanages. 90% went into the pockets of corrupted politicians over there.
Well, remember after 9/11, when even the Red Cross and others and United Way got over $5 billion, and then they said every dime would go, but then they kept half of it, and then gave some of the money to gun control groups.
Yeah. I know, it's crazy. And so the thing is, that $50 billion, how much is really going to go to the poor? and how much money is going to go in the pockets of the corrupted politicians in the United Nations. That's what concerns me. We keep sending money out, and the money's not going where it should be going. And we, you know, so, and plus we got to worry about our people here in our own country. We got the downtrodden, the homeless. We have very poor people in our own country that needs to be taken care of first before we start doling out money to other nations.
Absolutely. The problem we face is we get different rhetoric from the two parties, but when it comes to action, and I know you're a loyal person and been somewhat loyal to the Republicans.
No, I'm not really.
Because at least on their platform, they were better. But, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Well, what's your take on how both political parties now seem to be going in one direction? You know, 91% of the American people in Gallup polls want to control our borders, or 70-plus percent don't want to be in Iraq, or, you know, on and on and in, or 90% don't want the bailout, but they're still trying to pass it.
Truthfully, when the Republicans were in control of the Congress in those first 6 years of Bush's, they ran us into the ground. So the Democrats said, "Well, we'll change everything. We'll make everything better." So now the Democrats have control of Congress, and they've run us deeper into the ground. I don't know who to trust. I don't trust any of them. Ron Paul's the only guy I trust. And like you heard, Alex, you know, I said if I had one wish, you know, if they give me one wish, I'd like to line up all the members of Congress and have Ron Paul walk with me down the line and say, okay, which one's corrupted? Which one's corrupted? And the ones he says points to as corrupted, I'm going to choke them unconscious and stick them into a pile. You know, kind of a off-center joke for me. But
Well, I saw that in the Cleveland Plain Dealer, and he said I'd keep sticking them in a pile, piling them up, said the martial arts star, who at 68 looks as young and buff as in his Walker, Texas Ranger glory days. The ones that are honest, they stay. You know, and that's my next point, and you get into some of this in the book, but you say that you're aware of some of the things I cover and what Ron Paul gets into. Chuck, a lot of conservatives listen to you. They aren't aware like you are or like I am that the party has been taken over by these multinational corporations, by the foreign lobbyists, by the special interest. You know, I was asking you about the globalists, the New World Order, the North American Union, the Army Times. I know you're a big supporter of the military, but if we support the military, we've got to keep them, you know, doing jobs that are constitutional. They're announcing NORTHCOM is now going to have active duty brigades in the U.S. to, quote, deal with civil unrest. That violates posse comitatus. And I know you're a big friend of law enforcement, but the police I talk to, they're getting upset about the spying on citizens. You know, the excuse and the threat of terrorism being used as a pretext to really have the government circle the wagons against the people so that we can't remove them from office. I mean, can you speak to that?
Well, you know, the thing is we can't. You know, the thing... You know, it's such a complicated mess. But I agree with you, Alex. You cannot start spying on the citizens of America. I mean, we're getting enough spying on with the internet. You know, I mean, I can't even blow my nose without somebody knowing it on the internet, and it's crazy. And you know, we're all an open book today with the wild frontier of the internet. But the thing is, we cannot have law enforcement going in and breaking down doors with just the suspicions.
Well, that's the problem. That's the problem is that they're given these unfunded federal mandates. They're not allowed to do their constitutional jobs, like control the borders, and we have 800-plus sanctuary cities that are bankrupting the city, county, state governments. Everything's starting, and then the police go out and squeeze with asset forfeiture, seizure, and things that violate due process. And the most police I talk to personally, they don't like what's happening, but they're basically being given these orders. Are we coming to the time when we need more and more police organizations to say no to unconstitutional actions like, are you aware, because it hadn't gotten a lot of attention, not just gun confiscation in New Orleans, the governor, who needs to be impeached in Illinois a month ago, and I can play the clip if you want to hear it, said that they want to use the National Guard for gun sweeps and gun confiscation in the entire state of Illinois.
Oh, boy. Oh, that's not good.
Where do you stand on gun confiscation?
Well, you know, I have a ranch, you know, and I believe in bearing arms. I really do, Alex. I believe the Americans have the right to bear arms. And, you know, and the thing is, I wouldn't want anyone taking my guns away from me on my ranch here. But the thing is, it has to be responsible. You know, I mean, responsibility. But the thing is with the Constitution, the Constitution is being played from both ends. You know, it's a living document today. You know, it's not a solid document that it should be. And Patrick Henry said it diligently. I mean, he said the Constitution is not an instrument for the government to restrain the people. It's an instrument for the people to restrain the government, lest it come to dominate our lives. I really believe the government is dominating our lives, Alex. I believe that they are dictating everything that they feel we should do, rather than us dictating to the government what should be in our best interest. And
absolutely.
It's irritating me.
Well, you cover a lot of that in Black Belt Patriotism, mm-hmm. How to Reawaken America, Chuck mm-hmm. Norris. I mean,
I went to the House. I was in D.C. a few months ago, my wife and I, and we walked into the House chamber, and here's 435 congressmen screaming at each other across the aisle. And I'm watching this. I can't even hear myself think, and they're screaming about some bill. And I'm thinking, here's 435 congressmen looking like eighth graders screaming at each other and not getting anything resolved. And finally, the House Speaker said, okay, that's enough. Time out. Everyone stopped and walked off. And I'm thinking, this is like an eighth grade class where the teacher's gone and everyone's just going crazy. And I said, no wonder we don't get anything resolved in our country. And if they do resolve something, then it's inedible. You know, it's like, it's the bailout. I mean, all the money we're spending to AIG and Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and now Merrill Lynch. You know, have you?
Those are multinational corporations.
What these CEOs are getting when they leave the company, it's just crazy the amount of money these CEOs have run a company down, and then they get $100 million bailout. I mean, it's crazy.
Well, Chuck Norris, you know what's happening. They've created all this false paper, these derivatives that are nothing is backing them but the U.S. taxpayer, and most of these companies are global corporations. Secretary Paulson's come out and said they want to bail out foreign banks, but this is a black hole that we can't bail out.
It's a black hole, Alex, and we're going to bail ourselves right into bankruptcy in our country.
Well, Chuck, a lot of people respect you on both sides of the aisle. The American people, I mean, everybody I know loves Chuck Norris.
Mm-hmm.
And for people listening, I know you're a smart guy, and I know you try to hold back and be, an even-headed guy and be restrained. But, I mean, tell us here in this interview with the 6 minutes we've got left, bottom line, what you think the individuals could do, because we know the foreign interest have seized Washington, both parties. I know you know that they're hiring felons for the military, illegal aliens for the military. They're turning mercenary forces loose that are now not even based in the U.S. They signed a deal earlier this year for NORTHCOM to use Canadian and Mexican troops in the U.S. If you're not aware of that, I can give you the mainstream stories. Mm. Congress has been told they're not involved in that. It's like in Germany. You're not against the German military if you're a German until bad people take control of it. And there has to be a point, if they're planning to use the military against the American people, that we say no. So, I mean, are you against, or are you aware that they're felons that they're now hiring for the military?
No, I didn't. I didn't know that. But, you know, the thing is, what I'm really concerned about is our people in America who work week to week and make a living from paycheck to paycheck. And all of a sudden that becoming, where they can't live from paycheck to paycheck. That's why I'm so in favor of the fair tax concept, Alex, because the thing is there's $13 trillion in offshore accounts.
Yes.
You know, that's where the super rich are hiding their money. And so if we had a fair tax, the super rich could bring their $13 trillion back into our economy and give our economy a huge boost. The 3 million manufacturing jobs that are being outsourced to other countries, they can all come back because they're not going to be taxed to death. You know, we got income tax, employment tax, capital gains, estate, corporate property, Social Security. We're being taxed to death, Alex.
Well, you're right. We're talking to Chuck Norris, the new book, Black Belt Patriotism. I have to say with this book, it is... I don't want to say eclectic, but it's a great mix of health, patriotism, ways to fix America. It also gets, some into your martial arts history. And before you leave in about 4 minutes, I just want to bring it up now or my listeners will kill me. just a few words from you about what it was like actually, you know, knowing Bruce Lee and being his best black belt and then starring in films with him. What was that like?
Well, you know, the thing is, Bruce and I became good friends. He was back in New York when I won the world title in 1968. And then, you know, we started working out together in L.A., and then he left for Hong Kong to pursue his movie career, and I didn't hear from him for a couple of years, and then he called me out of the blue and said, Chuck, I've done two movies, and they're really successful. I want to do a movie now about with a fight scene in the Colosseum in Rome, I'd like for you to be my opponent. So kiddingly, I said, well, Bruce, who wins this fight? I win. I'm the star of this movie. I said, oh, because I held the world title at that time. And I said, oh, I see. You want to beat up the world champion, huh? He says, no. He says, I want to kill the world champion. But, you know, I have to tell
who would have really won? I mean, in a no-holds-barred.
No, I don't know. You know, I was a professional fighter. But the thing is, Bruce was an incredible martial artist. And, you know, you never want to say you could do something unless you proved it, you know. But I have to tell you, I've done 23 movies and 203 episodes of Walker, Texas Ranger, and I've never gotten one encouraging review in all the years I've done in the entertainment world. Now I write a book, Black Belt Patriotism, and I've got 3 5-star ratings. One woman, Laura Berenger, wrote, not being a huge Chuck Norris fan, I wasn't sure what to expect. Having just finished it, I have to confess that I was quickly drawn in and captivated by the contents of the book and actually pleasantly surprised by its insight, depth, research, genuineness, practicality, and motivating nature. This is not just another political diatribe. It's a cultural manifesto. I have never gotten a review like that in my life, Alex.
Well, you know what's happening, Chuck? A lot of mainline liberals obviously were angry at your political stance on the Second Amendment and things like that, but now they see so much, and the left is disenfranchised with the left, the right is disenfranchised with the right, but the people are figuring that out and coming together, and there's a huge awakening happening, and I appreciate your...
I hope so, because, you know, we need to get away from liberalism and conservatism and think about Americanism, Alex.
Well, look at the crisis right now in closing. I mean, Ron Paul was right about everything he said about the time bomb with the economy and the banks.
He sure as heck was.
And I mean, you're supporting Ron Paul now. Do you wish he could, you know, come in and run as a third party?
Ron, you know, why back Mike Huckabee? Because Mike Huckabee espoused fair tax, which I really believe in.
But then when he got out, you were supporting Ron Paul till he got out. You need to call Ron Paul and draft him to try to run third party now in the last month just to inject real issues.
Well, everybody's asking me to run a third party. You know, so who knows what's going to happen, Alex.
Chuck, why don't you run for president in 2012?
Oh, man, they need somebody smarter than me. You know, Mike Huckabee or Ron Paul, that's what I'd like to have.
Absolutely. Chuck Norris, I want to say bye to you just for a minute off air here. But give us the website, and people can find this in bookstores everywhere. I got this at the bookstore. But where else can they get it? Give us some of your websites.
They can get it at Amazon.com, and they can get it at the Borders and the Barnes & Noble.
They can also get it at Regnery. That's the publisher.
Yeah, Regnery's our publisher, yeah.
Okay, Black Belt Patriotism, How to Reawaken America. Chuck Norris, thank you so much. Okay, let me talk to him, John. Hey, Mr. Norris.
Yeah, you bet.
Listen, I'd like to get you up some time for 45 minutes or so to take calls. And just in closing, I didn't know that you'd... I've been told by some police years ago that you were aware of stuff and they'd given you some of my films. I didn't know that was the case, but you have heard the show before?
Oh, yeah, I did, yeah, because I've been to Austin quite a bit. And so I catch your show when I'm down there.
What do you overall, I'm trying to get your view overall of the types of things I talk about, a real conservatism.
Yeah, I tell you, what you're talking about, Alex, is right on. I mean, we got some serious issues in our country, and you're addressing them, and that's what I appreciate about your show. You do address the issues that we're facing right now, and a lot of people aren't aware of it. That's the problem, you know, and that's what's good, is that you're keeping people abreast of the problems we're having in our country.
Well, I know you've got more interviews coming up. There's no chance of keeping you over. We got to let you go.
Yeah, I got one in 5 minutes.
I'm told you're doing interview after interview all day long. Well, we really appreciate you having the courage to come on this show, because I know it's been somewhat controversial for folks, but all I try to do is defend the Republic, and I know in your heart you're a good guy, and that's why even on a...
I'm the same way, Alex. I mean, thing is, everyone says I'm a Republican. I'm an independent thinker. You know, I lean conservative. But I'm an independent guy.
No, but I mean, so am I. But that's what I'm saying is that even though I've disagreed with a few people you've supported, a few things you've done, I've known your heart was right, and I've known you've known things that, you know, that I didn't have from my perspective. And so I've just always known that you were a good guy and against the globalist. And I would just love to have you,
I tell you what, I'm only 2 hours away from you. My ranch is right near College Station.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm only a couple hours away. So one day, Gene and I'll drive down. I'll let you know. I'll call you. I got your phone number here. So when I can make it down there, I'll give you a buzz and see if you have time to get me on the air.
Every morning at the mine, you can see him around.
This is the last segment I'm going to be streaming live on PrisonPlanet.tv. We already did over an hour with Governor Jesse Ventura earlier. I was talking to Chuck Norris during the break. A little bit of a matter going on the web, but we cut it off. Point is, I forgot to add, and he wanted me to add, that 100% of the proceeds that, you know, that he's getting, his 20% or whatever from the publisher, goes to his Kickstart Foundation for Children. And I know that's a good foundation he has. He's really into having real charities. You heard him attacking charities that don't actually do what they say they're going to do. But, I mean, this is just his book sale, and so this is a pure charity, kind of like Paul Newman and his foods. What a great guy, Paul Newman. What a loss. I haven't even talked about him. I had that in my stack, you know, quotes about him, you know, by him saying, hey, I don't see myself as a philanthropist or some kind of angel. I'm just like a farmer. I believe you need to put back into the soil what you take out. But, yeah, Black Belt Patriotism really is a great book. And Chuck Norris is wanting to support the Republicans because he thought they were better than Democrats. Now he's really waking up, and he's a supporter of Ron Paul, and he told me off air and on air that, you know, he's been listening to the show for years. And then, you know, he said we ought to get together sometime, and people like him don't just say that. So we'll see. I think you're seeing the evolution of Chuck Norris. I mean, guys, how exciting is that? Because you guys got to hear the behind the scenes. Pretty exciting, huh? I mean, because what's exciting to me is if I just had Chuck Norris on talking about just Bruce Lee or himself or just talking about a movie, that'd be interesting, but that's not what the show's about. It's about these icons. And Chuck Norris is an icon. I mean, you know, all these movies, TV, you know, all the appearances. I mean, people love Chuck Norris. There's a million positive jokes about Chuck Norris. How do the jokes go? You know, there's so many of them. And to see him becoming a Ron Paul supporter. That's why I'm wearing my Ron Paul shirt today, ladies and gentlemen. You see this? People say, aha, he didn't win. Yes, he did. He was right. He stuck to his guns. He exposed the private Federal Reserve. He did a great job. And so today we gave you Jesse Ventura and Chuck Norris. And people say, oh, celebrities don't matter. Oh, is that why Coca-Cola and Disney will pay millions of dollars for him to work for him? Is that why the government always wants celebrities to pitch their wars or pitch their police state actions or pitch their agenda? No, celebrities do matter. And especially when they write a great book like Black Belt Patriotism, and then getting people like Chuck Norris to be on the show and supporters of the show, people like Jesse Ventura, Willie Nelson, Charlie Sheen, Richard Linkletter. Let me tell you this. Over a year ago, I had Rick Linkletter on this show, a year and a half ago, director, well-known director. And just on the air, I had him on about Scanner Darkly that I'm in and consulted on. My good friend Tommy Pallotta. I need to call Tommy. I'm so busy. He just called me. Anyways, I'm thinking here. Point is, as I know Tommy's listening every time I mention him. Anyways, and I had him on, and he just starts going off with, hey, I gave your videos, Terror Storm and Martial Law to Bruce Willis when they were making a movie here together in Austin. And Bruce came back a month later and said, I'm totally woken up. I'm no longer for the Republicans or the Democrats. Now I see both sides of the paradigm. Now I know 9/11 is an inside job. And Michelle Malkin, the same one that said the Marines didn't throw the puppy off the cliff and then I was a liar, and the same one that had her minions try to set me up in Denver and failed there again miserably. She won for a few days and lost. She won the battle, lost the war. It's how it works. The truth will prevail. She came out and said, well, we know somebody that knows him. Didn't give a name. And he says Bruce Willis didn't say that. It's pure bull. Then 6 months later, Vanity Fair. Bruce Willis is on vacation, Turks and Caicos, in a fishing boat, does an interview with Vanity Fair, and says the same people that killed Kennedy are running things now, and are basically 9/11, involved in 9/11, and I'm not involved in any of the parties anymore, and they're all evil. I mean, Bruce Willis was like the number one front for the neocons, and he was not a bad guy. And let me tell you, this guy was about number two. So you see what we're doing, folks. We are out there. These are good men. They care. They never had the big picture, just like Ventura didn't. Hey, 2 years ago, we go down to an interview with Jesse Ventura with Kinky Friedman. I walk in there. Ventura already knew who I was. Yeah, I've seen some of your stuff. Yeah. I said, here's Terror Storm. Here's Martial Law. And then that woke him up, and then his son brought him Loose Change Second Edition, and that made him go public, and he went public on this show. And I had him on about his book, and he just says during a break, he says, hey, let's talk about 9/11. I'm ready to do it. In fact, that behind-the-scenes video, because we shot video in here, is at the end of Truth Rising. That's how the film ends, is Ventura saying, I'm ready to talk. I'm ready to do it. Because his passion for liberty, his passion for truth and freedom, these are good people. Are they perfect? No. So I salute Chuck Norris. I salute Jesse Ventura. I salute people like Bruce Willis, who I know is getting... I'm not going to say anything, but... I love fighting the New World Order. We are taking their superstars and turning them over to the side of light against the dark side. We'll be right back with your phone calls, a ton of news, and a lot more on the one, the only, GCN.
We're on the march.
The Empire is on the run!
Alex,
yeah!
GCN Radio Network.
Yeah! Cease InfoWars, PrisonPlanet.tv transmission.
Government is best, which governs least.
Wake up and smell the fascism.
Being in government means never having to say you're sorry.
What?
I love fighting the New World Order. We are taking their superstars and turning them over to the side of light against the dark side. We'll be right back with your phone calls, a ton of news, and a lot more on the one, the only, GCN.
Your own personal Jesus.
You know what's happening? We're turning the trends against the CIA, the New World Order, the anti-Americans.
Someone who
we are turning the tide. We are the hottest thing out there. Praise God. All glory.
Jesus
goes right to Jesus, baby.
Someone to hear.
It is good.
Prayers. Someone who's there.
Hey, if you're committed to a fight 110%, you take action, you're unstoppable.
Feeling unknown and you're all alone.
You know how I get up in the morning a lot of times? By the telephone.
Lift up the receiver.
I'll make you a believer. Let's hear just a little bit of Johnny Cash.
Take second best, put me to the test. Things on your chest, you need to confess. I will deliver, you know I'm a forgiver. Reach out and touch faith. Reach out and touch faith. Your own personal Jesus. Someone to hear your prayers. Someone who cares.
The stock market is only down 35.36 points on the Dow Jones Industrial, 25.32 on the NASDAQ. S&P's down 3.83. The Dow stands at 10,815.3. Warren Buffett is to invest $3 billion in General Electric, which it really is a financial institution. That's what most of what they do is. I know that from some local business owners I know. They finance all kinds of stuff. Man, there's a lot going on. At the very end of the show, I'm going to recap some of the things that are happening in the markets right now. I wanted to jam in some phone calls now. Let's go ahead. There's so many here. Who's up first? Bernard in California. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, Alex Jones? This is one of your supporters here.
I'm fired up, man. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Hey, man, just really quick, because I know you got your hands full there. Hey, these animals that have been attacking the United States within our Congress need to be stripped away from whatever powers they have now. and just incarcerated immediately. This is a big eye-opener in the way that it's never been attacked. We have never been attacked in this form by our people. That
well, the bankers did attack us in 1929 after they got control in 1913 to bring us under their control. So, but this is much bigger, and you're right. Nothing, I mean, the attack on the stock market Monday was $1,200,000,000.3. That's $1,200,000,000,000, ladies and gentlemen.
Mm-hmm. Sure,
just absolutely incredible. And then the terrorism, the market economic terrorism in your face, saying, "Do what we say, give the Treasury unlimited power, let them do whatever they want, or the markets die." And it scared some people. You know, it was down to about 6% supporting the bailout. Now it's about 10% supporting the bailout. But the Senate, which is more controlled by the New World Order, only 100 to buy instead of 400 and something, they are set to probably, well, they said this Monday and lied, though, so you don't know what's true. The media is saying again that it's going to pass tonight at 7 o'clock. We will see if that happens, 6 Central, 5 Mountain, 4 Pacific. We are going to find out this evening.
Correct. Some type of help is good, but nothing so exaggerating as give me the power and all the money in the world so I can.
But this isn't help, exactly. Listen, I'm against socialism, but if we want to go into debt and devalue the dollar, which in a way is, it's already a dead duck, I say, if it was for the people, go ahead, but the government will always find some way to corrupt it or steal it. But, I mean, if you took $700 billion and doled that out to the American people, that would probably actually save the economy for 3 or 4 years. A lot of economists are saying that. I mean, what's $700 billion divided into, you know, 190 million adults? Hey, guys, do that on a calculator. What is $700 billion divided into 190 million adults, or let's just say 200 million adults? What is 200 million divided into 700 billion? It's really going to be 5 trillion. So, tell what, do 5 trillion divided into 5 trillion divided into 200 million. And we'll see how much money we're each getting here. So, I mean, folks, this is not a bailout. And the money is the diversion. It's about the unlimited power and the fact that they're given immunity. Anything else you want to add, Bernard? Bernard's gone. Steve in Denver, you're on the air. Something going on with my phone system here? Houston, are you there? Okay, Steve's not there either. Mark in Oregon. Go ahead, Mark.
Good morning to you, Alex.
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, Alex. Alex, you know, I've been thinking about, you know, the best tool of truth to use at this point in time, given where we're at, relative to the overall conspiratorial plan to destroy us all here. And I came up with one word to extrapolate from into an idea, and that word is
Keeblerkram. No, go ahead.
I thought about that first, yes, but that word is publicity. And I thought, out of publicity, what would of all the different vehicles of publicity, such as movies, television, radio, the print media, and given the blackout on truth media in this country anymore, we've lost the fourth estate. So it really, what's replaced that fourth estate of a free press is really a blackout on truth, which really makes it possible for the evildoers to do what they're doing and what
and
they
so
have.
And so the alternative media is fighting back and growing exponentially, so the mainstream media is now admitting the government's getting ready to shut down the old web and have a highly restricted, taxed, and regulated web, and so we've got to use the internet now like we've never done to expose the New World Order. Every one of you can't sit on your hands. Now is the time to send emails, write Congress, call into talk shows, start your own blogs, print up local newspapers. There's a lot of business owners. You can grab 5 or 6 a week articles out of the web, and you can then go and you can publish that in a little newsletter for part of your city. You know, I mean, look, it all has an effect. Anything else you want to add, sir?
Yes, sir. When it comes to where you could fit into a massive publicity vehicle for the truth, not being about you, but being about the exposure, essentially, as I see it, of what happened on 9/11. Because if a story of 9/11, the true story of it, is exposed to, in general, to the people in the world through a massive publicity vehicle,
sure,
then the whole rest of the house of black cards falls down. Because if that is a lie and the true perpetrators are exposed of 9/11, then everything that they've done falls down with that story.
Listen, I hear you and I appreciate your call, but listen, here's what's happened. You just perfectly exposed the illusion. The majority of the world now knows 9/11 is an inside job in 90% of the polls. There's a few that just show a large minority, but those are cooked polls. I mean, the vast majority of global polls, the majority, not just in Arab countries, but in Asia, you name it, believe that they've been lied to, and that a huge portion of that will say inside job to a telephone poller. And most people, you know, don't want to say something radical over the phone. They're scared. But still, we're getting a majority. By the way, do we have the next guest? John? Oh, okay, I didn't know that. At the very end of the show, I will explain this paradigm. This is so important. I'm going to write a note here. We're going to do it. I haven't had him on about a month and a half, and it's this kind of guy that makes the show possible, and it's also a way to save money. You know, I only pitch things I believe in. You know, I say buy gold when it's $265 an ounce, and, you know, it's been above 1,000 and right up there at like 900 right now. In just a few years. You know, it's been about 30% gains a year the last 8 years, and the stock market's been losing the last 8 years. I believe in storable food, and now look, even mainstream media is saying getting it. I believe in organic food more and more. You know, it's one thing to talk the talk, but walk the walk. And I've told the story, but I'll tell it again. About 5 years ago, the sales manager was a Republican at the time, but he was also an environmentalist, and he was really into organic stuff, Michael Trudeau, and he said, I'm using this incredible organic soap directly from the distributor. I want you to have the guy on do an interview. And I said, I don't talk about stuff like that. And he goes, let me just send you a box. And it came, and I ignore soap. I mean, you know, we already had some more expensive, cruddy organic soaps that would still burn me under the arms and stuff, but it was better than, and I go, what is this great soap? And like a year later, the year supply runs out. Just a box, but it ran out in a year. My wife goes, I want more of that. So I got more. Marty sent us more. And then I got him as a sponsor, I guess, about 3 years ago. I forget. The point is, because you go directly to him, this is a way to save money in this economy. You stop buying your detergents that eat your clothes. You stop buying the chemicals that are in the shampoos that give you all sorts of respiratory problems and asthma. It's petrochemicals, just like fluoride's a byproduct of petrochemical, and they dump it in the water, or DUs left over from the uranium enrichment, so they use it as weapons. The globalists are masters. The engineers are masters. Masters. Absolute masters at taking their toxic waste and putting it into products. We haven't had a real soap in 50 years in this country, but 58 years ago, or 57, I don't know, 47, however long ago that was, this gentleman with his father, now his son runs it, with him, Marty Schachter, started the Calbin Pure Soap Company, and it is the best stuff, and because you get it directly from him. They never had direct sale to the public till Trudeau thought this up, by the way. It only went to institutions who were smart, big hospitals, five-star hotels. You'd think a five-star hotel have some really expensive soap. No, they were smart. They got the best organic soap, low price. See, the elite's smart, folks. Well, now you can do it. And that's my introduction. Marty, 85% off supermarket prices for your real soap that's not toxic waste left over from petrochemical production. By the way, he was in the chemical corps in World War II, so that he knows all about it. Marty, it's great to have you here.
Pleasure talking to you and your listeners, Alex. It's so wonderful to be able to take care of the health and well-being of your listeners, which we've been doing now for 3 years. It's been wonderful, and I appreciate it, and I will continue doing this to help everyone. I mean, there's no one in the country, no one, that could give you a 1 to 2 year supply of Pure Soap products for around $3 a week, or a 3 to 4 year supply for $2.50 a week, or a 4 to 5 year bulk supply of our Pure Soap products for $2 a week. Nowhere, no how. We do it because we're direct from the factory. We manufacture the goods. We sell it direct to the consumer. We unconditionally guarantee quality of the product to 100% complete satisfaction.
Now, to explain this key here, and you know, you were in the chemical corps and been making soap for since 47, so explain this to people.
Well, I was in 1945. I was drafted in the Army, assigned without my knowledge or know-how to the United States Chemical Division, sent to Japan to monitor all the chemicals in the warehouses there.
But that was the next point I wanted to get to, because I have an old encyclopedia that explains, and I keep meaning to bring it into the TV show, because we also do TV here now, and show people what they admit, how just from oil alone, how they make all these derivatives and chemicals. And before, they would have each refinery every month thousands of tons sometimes of toxic waste, until they wrote big papers on it in the 40s and 50s, we'll take over the soap industry and put the toxic waste in there, or they'd have to store that, and that would have been cost prohibitive. I mean, this is such an important point, Marty. We're not joking about what's in soap. Tell them.
Well, the problem was, when Nazi Germany was starting to win the war, they were converting all the glycerins from the soaps that they were making into nitroglycerin or armaments, and their chemists came up with a way of taking the waste petroleums and all the chemicals and making a synthetic detergent. They called it synthetic, which means artificial, false, not true. And they, when the country was captured by the United States and England, they discovered the formulas. And Lever Brothers, an English company, got the first break on it, and they made a product called All, A-double-L, All, as a detergent, which cost pennies to make, not dollars to make, and it spread to Procter and Colgate, and the entire chemical industry were taking waste products and sulfates and all the derivative chemicals that had no useful use, dyes, perfumes, chlorides, aloes, glycerins, conditioners, foods, vitamins, botanicals, and antibacterials, paraffins, acids, lanolins, deodorants, all incorporated into the cleaning products, which cost very little to make, and the whole industry took over, and soap became an antique. You couldn't buy it anymore. That's why my father and I, in 1947, 61 years ago, started a very small soap company.
See, I can't even do math. I was saying 57, 61 years ago.
1947 to now, we're 61 years. We're still here. We're a family company. We're a family partnership.
Now, tell people what's in your soap, real soap.
We make our products from coconut oils, which we import from the Philippines, from the copra tree, and vegetables of various kinds, blended together to be safe, to do the job, not hurt, harm, pollute, burn. It does the job. We've got tens of thousands of families coast to coast, including Canada, including the Caribbean, including Hong Kong, China, that buys our products, although China has massive big corporations that manufacture detergents. They want pure soap. And we're
well, the families know. Most our drugs are being made in China now. They put melamine plastic in the milk. I mean, this is insane, folks. You've got to get this soap. Now, Marty, I wanted to ask you, before we knew about you, my wife at Whole Foods, and they have some good products, would buy organic soaps and things. They would cost 2-3 times the detergent, and a lot of times they would still burn me and stuff and the children. Why are your soaps so different?
Well, we don't use one of the toxic ingredients, actually only one, which is perfumes. Perfumes are toxic. You can take a drop of pure perfume, put it on a walnut hardwood desk overnight, it'll drill a hole in it, just like a bullet hole. It just burns. Now, it's supposed to be a fragrance. It's supposed to smell like flowers, like the wheat field, like wonderful air. But it does more harm than you. We don't use perfumes. We use natural juices from coconuts, from lemons, from cherries, from honey, from oranges. This is something that doesn't stay on the skin, doesn't stay on the towel, doesn't stay in the air. It gives a little fragrance,
folks,
but it's safe.
Growing up, we're going to hold you over, Marty. Growing up my whole life, and I'm not knocking my parents, they didn't know any better, I would get rashes, my mom would change the Tide to this or that. I'd put the Zest under my arm. Even if I washed it all off, it would make me break out. So many of the young people, and even dermatologists say this now, use organic soaps. They're learning it's burning their faces. Then they get the acne. You need the natural oil coating your face has. Look, real soap you can leave on your hind end or under your arms, and it isn't going to burn you.
Everybody's done it with these detergents. You leave a little bit of soap under your arm. 3 hours later at work, you're like, man, it's hurting. And you're in there splashing water. We'll give you the number when we come back to get some of this real organic soap.
ProSpy.com is your choice for everything spy-related. Stealth cameras cleverly disguised as items commonly found around the home. Covert phone and voice recorders, powerful binoculars, security systems, hidden safes, and much more. Find hidden cameras wherever you go with the small handheld spy finder and locate hidden transmitters with one of our bug detectors. Protect yourself from ID theft with our RFID blocker. The RFID tags in ID cards have been proven to be not secure. Thieves are able to read information stored on these tags to steal your identity. RFID blocker is available as a wallet or passport case. ProSpy.com also carries a wide variety of night vision cameras and scopes to see in the darkest conditions. Protect your home and business with our complete line of security cameras made to face any situation. Don't forget to order your personal security devices and shop for so much more. Go to ProSpy.com. ProSpy.com, where your personal security and well-being is our goal.
It is a big idea. A new world order.
In the near future, Earth is dominated by a powerful world government.
It's known as the Bilderberg Group. Could their objective be world domination?
For thousands of years, their dark order grew. Now, as they hail the birth of the New World Order, their great dream of exterminating 80% of humanity is at hand. For the first time in history, the elite's plan for world government is blown wide open. You will learn the secret that drives the entire New World Order agenda.
Bilderberg is making great progress toward a world government.
Most people have no idea. They're not after money. They have all the money they need. They're after power. That's their aphrodisiac.
Order Endgame on DVD at PrisonPlanet.com or InfoWars.com. Or watch it online right now at PrisonPlanet.tv. Endgame. Blueprint for global enslavement. You have been warned.
Keep out of reach of children under 6 years of age. If you accidentally swallow more than used for brushing, seek professional assistance or contact a poison control center immediately. Why would you or your family use a product with this warning? If you're looking for a safe and natural alternative to keep your teeth healthy, clean, and sparkling, then you need Soli Smile All-Natural Tooth Powder, the first tooth powder of its kind. Soli Smile contains 84 mineral-rich Himalayan sea salt, baking soda, and xylitol, a sugar substitute with long-lasting dental benefits. Soli Smile comes in 5 flavors, made from grade A essential oils, so I know it'll please even your kids. You'll also appreciate the convenient 2-ounce airline safe size. Try some, and you too will have a Soli Smile. Order some today at SoliSmile.com. That's SOLAYSmile.com. Or call us toll-free, 866-497-0274. That's 866-497-0274. Mention GCN for a free gift, complete with a 90-day money-back guarantee.
For our great AM and FM affiliates, the network re-airs on the satellite 9 to 1 a.m., the four-hour transmission. Everybody else listening on AM and FM shortwave will be back tomorrow, 11 to 4 live, and then re-aired on WWCR from 9 to 1 a.m., 9 p.m. to 1 a.m. You can always listen to the restream that starts right when the show ends. And I had Governor Ventura on with some amazing information. We had Chuck Norris on earlier. That all re-airs on the internet streams at InfoWars.com in T-minus 5.5 minutes. So I want to challenge everybody to tune back into that when the show officially ends, coming up in about 5 minutes. There's also the free podcast of the show now being downloaded by 83,000 people a day. 83,000 people download the podcast. Not the streams. That's now in the millions a week. But the 83,000 and growing exponentially, that's free. And archives are being added right now for free. Marty, in closing, give people a few of the packages and the phone number and give me a limerick.
The number 1-800-340-7091 for a free catalog or to get a sampler supply for $20 of a 1 to 2 month supply. They can get a 1 year, a 3 year, a 4 year, 5 year supply of soap at an unbelievable cost saving to the consumer. And we do that. Our website is 5starsoap.com. 5 the number or 5 the letter, makes no difference. That's 5starsoap.com for your free catalog to talk to me, to talk to my son.
And it's certified California organic. It is. That's one of the highest standards. This is what I use in my household. I believe in it. And that's why we promote Marty, and we appreciate his sponsorship. Give them the number, Marty.
1-800-340-7091 or our website, 5starsoap.com.
One more time.
1-800-340-7091.
Or 5starsoap.com. Hey, we did that good together. Like a choir or something. 5starsoap.com. Marty, you know, we're not kidding. The incredible thing in this world is you pay less for something organic and good. It's 85% cheaper. And people still probably don't even believe us, some of them, until they try it. They should call up and get the sampler tote bag. Give the number out for that.
1-800-340-7091.
Marty, give us a limerick.
Well, this I heard this last week on the radio from a major San Francisco station owned by Disney, and I immediately wrote it down because I wanted to share with you. It starts like this. There was a young maiden named Myrtle who had an affair with a title. With a swelling in her girdle, and her mother found out that Myrtle's turtle was fertile.
Oh, man, you're something else. Marty, we'll talk to you soon. Take care, my friend.
Thank you.
Okay, I said earlier when I knew I had Marty on that I would talk about the basics. You had the caller saying some massive event to expose 9/11 is an inside job. The world knows in all the polls it's an inside job and it's a lie. That's why the American people don't buy the bailout. They heard the lies about WMDs and all the rest of it. The only illusion that's left is that we're the minority. The only illusion left is that we're by ourselves and the public doesn't agree with us. And there is, you know, 30-40% that are like zombies who repeat whatever they hear on TV and think you're kooky if you say that government might not be trustworthy. Oh, that never happened, you know. I mean, there are some idiots out there, but they're becoming the minority. They're a large minority, close to half, I'd say 40%. But look, 5% won the Revolutionary War. So 9/11 truth is exploding, it's winning, it's breaking paradigms, it's destroying trust in the New World Order, and people are seeing false flag attacks, whether they be economic, like this financial 9/11, Or be they a staged terror attack. And I keep meaning tomorrow on the show, I'm going to get into the fact that I think we're at a prime juncture, not just for economic terrorism, but biological terrorism, staged, or they'll claim it's an accident, or terror, or nuclear, or something in the Strait of Hormuz. So we'll be covering that tomorrow live, 11 to 4. God bless you all. Retransmission of one of the best shows I ever did with Chuck Norris and Jesse Ventura coming up right now, one place, Infowars.com on the streams.